Blog Talk Radio.
News with NSM Doc. Of course, this is the Proof Negative show. As you know, I come in on Fridays and fill in Proof's seat during his time slot. And I want to thank all you that are here for the first time tonight. I'd like to take a minute that if you're a guest in the chat room, I'm going to ask that if you could just take a second and register with BTR and favorite the show. it helps us out, keeps us on the front page, keeps us right there in the eye, so that folks can find this place and get you over here where you're going to get the real news. And that was a fantastic show by Eric. I got to say, I think that was his best show he's done yet. And so I just wanted to say thanks to Eric and the Lion's Den. And many, many of you are here tonight for a very special guest. A lot of you guys from the YouTube community remember End Times Watchman. And he's going to be on with us tonight. A lot of folks have asked about his radio station and things like that. And I'm going to let him explain those kind of things to you. And if you're wondering about topics for tonight, well, you know, if you're familiar with End Times Watchmen, then you know that he's a man of God, and so am I, and I'm thrilled to have him on, if just for that reason alone. But he's also been involved in some of the very best preparation videos that I've ever seen on YouTube. And so the topics for tonight is going to be just about wherever he wants to go. So I hope you all will stay tuned for that. And I've got a caller in queue here, so I'm going to check here and see if this is him real quick. So if you guys will just give me a minute. 309, you're unmuted. You're on the air on Hardtail News with NSM Doc. Is this you, Billy?
No, this ain't Billy.
Oh, all right. I didn't figure he'd be calling in for another 10 minutes, so I just wanted to check. Did you have a question before we got the show going, seeing as I got you unmuted? You want to give your name and where you're from?
Well, actually, I was just, I can't get the computer. I can't get nothing to load on the computer. I was just listening over the phone.
Okay, that's cool. I just I didn't know if he was calling in early or not, and I wanted to check and make sure because it didn't look like it wasn't the number I was familiar with. So, all right, you go on ahead and keep listening. Then I want to thank you for listening in.
Yeah, I want to thank you guys for the. You guys are doing a real good job. I like this stuff. I really do. Interesting.
All right. Hey, thanks, man. It's a lot of work, but you know it's worth it to put it in because we got to get the information out. This is the place that, of course, you will get the information because you're certainly not going to get it from the mainstream news. So thanks for the compliment. We really appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of the show, huh?
All right. Thank you.
All right. All right. So while we're waiting on Billy to call in, right, I checked out a couple of articles today, right, and Yeah, it turns out, right, I guess Zero Hedge did a little investigation into our banking problems, and if any of you guys have been paying attention to the stock market at all this week, you've noticed that some of the predictions that were made by some folks right around Christmas are looking like they're starting to come true, at least to me. The market's lost 522 points in the last 5 days and a little over 200 points, I guess close to 300 points today. I think it was 270. And the NASDAQ is off 60. And that was kind of what my financial guys were telling me was going to happen when things started to get a little bit rough, or as they say, we start sliding down the slippery slope to no return. And the article goes into talking about well, did the Federal Reserve do it on purpose and things of that nature? And, well, I think that we all know that the Federal Reserve was definitely complicit in what was going on. And they talk about the largest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the very, very rich ever in history occurring over the past 5 years or so. And, you know, that's just incredible. And then setting in socialist bailouts as just... That's got us on the brink. So the information I had, right, was when we start sliding down the slippery slope was that the market would start wildly fluctuating up and down and up and down, and we definitely have that going on right now. So my ear is to the ground. I know a lot of folks have heard a lot about flu pandemics and things of that nature, but I'm here to tell you that I think that it's going to be a financial crash slash food crash that really that really brings us to our knees. You know, they've been selling our grain as commodity, our Federal Reserve's buying them back from China, of course, with our commodities, our wheat crop and things like that. They say we planted the fewest acres of wheat since 1913. So, and you know, China's supposed to be our ally, and when they're pumping all our Federal Reserve notes back into the market, when they should be holding them and not deflating our currency like that, just goes to show you that another socialist entity is out to crush what little bit of freedom we have left. So I've got another caller in queue, and I'm gonna see if this is Billy right here. And if it is, what we'll do is we'll go to break and then we'll come back in. Hello, you're on the air with Hardtail News with NSM Doc.
Hey, Doc, it's Billy.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, say hi to everybody real quick, and then what I'll do, right, is I usually cut to a break, and then I'll come back in and introduce you. I just wanted to make sure that that was you that was online.
Yes, sir. Good evening, everybody, and I hope everybody's doing well considering the circumstances of our nation, but it's good to be here with you tonight, Doc.
Yeah, hey, it's great to have you, man. I was just telling everybody that the biggest thrill I had was that I'm going to have another man, a man of God on the show, but not just a man of God, but one that has the same conviction as me, and that is that's to get the Christian soldiers ready for what's coming, because it's coming.
Boy, it's coming, ain't it?
So, hey, with that, right? I'm going to take us into break, and then I'll bring us back in.
That'll be great. Thank you.
The Proof Negative Show. We are freedomizers freedomizing freedoms to the freedomist for freedoming freedoms to people who simply just want their freedom back. The Proof Negative Show. Weekdays, 9 to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 Pacific. Right here on Freedomizer Radio.
The John King Radio Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, brought to you by Freedomizer Radio and www.thefreedomlink.org.
Right, and we're back in. This is NSM Doc here at Freedomizer Radio, and I want to thank you for joining me again at Hardtail News with NSM Doc. We've got a very special guest here for you tonight, Mr. End Times Watchman. How you doing there, Mr. End Times Watchman?
I'm doing great, and I hope you're doing well, and I thank you for having me on. I believe it's an honor and a privilege to be with you tonight.
Yeah, the honor is all mine, man. It's all mine.
Hey.
Hey, one of the biggest questions I've got, right, is people want to know where they can find you at, and they keep asking me about the radio station. So I thought real quick that would be a good place to start so you can let some folks know about what you've been up to and what you may be doing in the future.
Well, we were I had a slot, had my own radio program up here in Montana, and there's been some things going on since 2000, what I would call some ungodly, satanic, liberal hate groups that have been attacking the man and on the radio station up here. And they had him shut down. He shut down for a while, shut him down in September, and C.S. Rivers has put that up and everything. But he's got a Bob Barr out of Georgia, and I can't speak. If I speak too much, I'll be getting into the case. But we're looking at hopefully opening back up here pretty soon and stronger and bigger and better than we ever have been. But at the same time, I've been trying, I tell you, Doc, I've been trying on a local level and individual, personal level to wake people up to where we're going and what's happening. Because, you know, Doc, it don't matter if I go, and I don't go into Walmart. China Mart, I don't go in there. Now, my wife does get goods, but I sit in the flipping truck in the parking lot with the kids, let them watch the DVD. I'm not going in there. I'm not supporting it. But that being said, when I sit there and I look at people, it's like they're walking in a daze. They're in a matrix. They don't know what's going on. So what I've been doing lately, now, I have been preaching on Saturdays and, you know, non-denominational group. It ain't nothing to do with no Baptist method. None of that. I mean, atheist, everybody's welcome. I just been preaching the Word of God on Saturdays and, you know, just trying to reach people on a local level here lately and finish my prep before the Schumer hits the fan. You know, the Chuckie Schumer, you know, the dude who hits the fan. But with that being said, you know, I've been doing a lot of research and keeping up and tracking all these elitists that want to kill us and destroy us. You know, that's basically what I've been doing.
I got to commend you on that, because that's the whole reason we started this station, and that's what I've been doing too. And I thought when I first got involved with this radio thing that I had bit off way more than I could chew. It was taking up 16 hours a day, but I realized, right, that I was spending that 16 hours a day anyway, oftentimes trying to reach people too. So I thought this was a great way and a great medium to use to reach folks. And I know, like me, before I did anything on YouTube or anywhere else, I got my stuff ready first so I could show it to people, so that I could ask, you know, so the folks would ask the questions of, well, how come you're doing this? You know, isn't that, don't you think that's a bit bizarre or something? And it gives me an opportunity to start speaking to people about what it says in the Bible about what's coming up to them, you know.
Absolutely.
It's serious. And so I thought maybe you could give people a few thoughts on why you started doing the things you were doing and why it's so important.
Well, Doc, and again, I thank you for having me on. The reason I did what I did and have done what I've done and continue to do what I do is, you know, used to, years back, me and my wife, and we've been married, fitting to be 19 years, and, you know, we got a Brady bunch of kids, and I'm thankful for it, and she's pregnant again, and praise God for that, and, you know, we don't use no birth control, we don't believe in that, you know, we trust in God, if he opens the womb, that's what happens. But with that being said, back in 1999, my eyes began to be opened, and I tell you what opened my eyes. I was already living for Jesus, okay, but I wasn't serving him. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference in living for him and serving him. If you become his servant, you become like Apostle Paul did, and, you know, the Roman government's going to hate you and the religious leaders. So I stepped out, you know, and I began to see. The first thing I saw, literally, as far as everything they're wanting to do to us, was I was going back and forth 75 miles one way, building a big old house for a guy, and I had a lot of time on my hands to pray and think and look. Well, the first thing I began to notice was the chemtrails in 99. All right, then, you know, I got to noticing some more stuff, and so we pulled out of denominational churches, and we began to pray and seek the face of God and fast and all, and, you know, I began to read about Joseph when the famine, you know, the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. I began to read Matthew 24. You know, when our Messiah said that these things are coming, I read Luke 21, Mark 13, and you know these things that the disciples recorded that Jesus said, absolutely they're going to come true. They're already happening right now. And I had to make a decision: do I want a nice clean truck, you know, that I got to clean up every weekend and be like the Joneses, and you know, have the biggest house on the block and be in debt, or do I want to be able to be prepared for what is going to come down the pipeline? Well, you know, back then, you know, everything was going good. You know, I was building houses left and right, and everybody else was too. But there come a point, you know, that God was showing me, and I actually had an open vision, Doc, of the streets being empty, you know, as far as the cars go. But I saw papers everywhere blowing around, empty water bottles, and people with their heads hung down. And, you know, the stores were closed. They had plywood over them and everything. The people had their head hung down just shaking it. And this was back in 2001 or two, you know, and I asked, it was open vision, not a night dream. And I asked God, I said, what does this mean? He said, you better hear me, my son, it's coming. I am going to judge America for her sins. And that's all I heard. And I began to, you know, look at things, and I began to study the mainstream media versus the Word of God. I began to study the alternative media versus the mainstream media. And, Doc, I began to see that they do not lie unless their lips move. Now, you know, we had a conversation today coming in from town. We had to go get some essentials. You know, when we pull out of our stock that we have, and by the way, we have 3.5 to 4 year stock, and we keep that. When we pull out of it, we have to replenish it every week, okay? So we was coming back, and we were talking about, you know, the Israelis, talking about the Jews, talking about the Catholics, talking about every denomination. And here's the thing. The one thing you have to always remember about your government, and I'm not against government. I'm just against an evil government. I'm all for a righteous government that deals in righteousness, okay, and equality.
Amen.
But here's the thing, okay? When a government says that you can murder babies on demand, okay, that you can do this and do that, and they can steal from us and pillage us till we become slaves, it reminds me of Egypt. Do you remember when the Israelites went to Egypt and went into bondage? Why did they go there, though? Because guess what? They didn't care about the laws that were being passed. All they cared about was feed me, make me fat, let me have my fun. And, well, here we are in America, my friend. Feed me, give me. And listen, anybody who wants to watch sports, I don't have anything against it. But if the sports is your God and you spend your money on it and you ain't got food put up for what's coming or whatever, I mean, the chariot races, that's what the Romans had in Jesus' day, or NASCAR is your God, or this, that, and other. Listen, it's going to be real hard. It's going to be real hard to eat a Hoosier tire off the back of a daggone race car, and your kids are looking at you and say, Daddy, where's the food? And it's not there. That's what stemmed me. You know, with the ushering and the great mercy that God has shown me, He shows me things and says, it's coming. Though it tarry and though it wait, it shall come to pass, Doc. And that's what got me started to get prepared and do things.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly what happened to me, too. I got goosebumps when you started talking about having a waking vision. So, because I had something similar kind of happen to me about 2 months ago. It gave me goosebumps. So I want to describe it to you and because I came home and told my wife about it, because I went off, I smoke cigars, right? And so I had to go down and get some, and the store's like a block and a half away. So I went out, got about halfway there, and it wasn't like I saw everything the way that I'm going to describe it, but I saw what was directly in front of me. The 2-3 houses in front of me had all the windows broke out, and there was broke tree limbs, and there was smashed out windows and cars, and it was kind of just deserted, right? And everything looked broken. Just for a second, it was like in flashes, right? And I had to come. In fact, I interviewed with Russ Dizdar that night, and I got home, and I was shaking, and I told my wife about it. I said, man, I think I just saw what this is going to look like in a little while. And at the time, we were having trouble setting our house down up at the place, because, you know, there's so many rules and regulations for getting things ready, right? And it was, I really think that praying just got stuff ready. But that's what it was like to me, where from the edges of my view, things would look normal, but right in front of me, they looked all messed up, and it shook me to my foundation. And that was, when you said that, it just gave me goosebumps.
Well, I've been having dreams all week long, about tornadoes. And let me explain a little bit of it, because, by the way, the Bible does say there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, okay, and you can interpret dreams. Daniel interpreted a dream for a heathen, Nebuchadnezzar, remember that? And, you know, you have people that have dreams and visions, and a lot of it's tacos and pinto beans and all that. But when it keeps reoccurring, God's trying to tell you something. And I've been dreaming all week about tornadoes. But here's the thing that really sets me back. It don't scare me, because I fear nothing, okay? God says perfect love casts out all fear. I fear nothing or nobody. I fear God, because the Bible says if we fear God, let me back up. It says don't fear the one, okay, that has the power to kill you, okay? Fear the one that has, after you're killed, to put your soul in hell. But let me back up. I've been dreaming all week about tornadoes, but the weird part about it is this. The tornadoes are tearing up friends of mine that I know that ain't prepared. It ain't touching us. It's like it wants to come get us, you know, but it turns and goes to them, you know, and I'm like, I'm screaming out, you know, out my window of my house, and I'm screaming out to friends and family, like, hey, get out of the way of it. And they're like, yeah, and they're barbecuing, and they're having a fun time, and these people don't have stuff put up, and God keeps showing me. I know Satan don't show me, because by the way, the thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I come to give you life, life abundantly. So Satan wouldn't show me what he's going to do to my friends. What God is trying to warn me, I believe, is not only friends but America, you better get your act together because the storm is coming, and I'm going to tell you, there ain't no human being on this earth or no technology that can stop it. And what I mean by that is God's storm is coming because guess what? If you go back and read Ezekiel, Jeremiah, anywhere you want to read in the Bible, if you are a Bible believer, if you ain't, God bless you anyway. I love you. Praise God for you. I'll hug you if you're atheist. But what I'm saying is this. When God's people became complacent and forgot about God and they waxed fat, what that means is they little by little, they got more and more money and bigger houses and all that, this, that, and other. They forgot about God. And Doc, I'm telling you, the schools have forsook God. You know, you remember, I'll go back to Judge Moore in Alabama, okay? The Ten Commandments got put in the closet and everything else came out. You can't do that. Our nation was founded on the basic principles of serving God. I'm not saying we can't have Muslims and everybody else here. I'm not against that. What I am saying is this. You have to stick with the principles of God because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is reproached to any people. And it also says this in Hosea chapter 4, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, when you go into that, you know, I'm screaming at people in these dreams all week, this whole week, since I talked to you last Friday, this whole week, I'm screaming, I'm like, get out of the way. And that means get out of your thought pattern, get out of your mainstream news, get out of your thing that you think that you can go to the grocery store next week, because we don't know that. All it takes is 24 hours. The trucking companies work off bill of ladings, that's what it's called. They don't get cash, they don't take cash, they work off a bill of ladings and maritime law, and I don't want to get into all that, but anyway, and commerce clause and all that. But all there has to be is one thing. You can go to bed tonight, wake up tomorrow, and guess what? They can shut it all down and in 24 hours, especially in the big cities, California, Atlanta, you know, and L.A. and all different places. The stores will be empty. Then what are you going to eat? What are you going to do? You know, Doc, go ahead.
Yeah.
Am I too loud?
No, sir. No, sir.
Okay.
You are right on target. You are right on target. Well, yeah, and that fits right into what I was talking about with China dumping all our Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah, I can get into that a bunch.
They're buying up all our grain right now. They're buying up all of our grain reserves, and it's my understanding that we've sold two-thirds of what we have stored up for the country to eat in case of something happening because of all the debt that's happening. And we can go back into the Bible and look at the entire Old Testament is basically judging God's people for not following God. It shows that they'll
mm-hmm.
follow God for a little
mm-hmm.
while,
mm-hmm.
and then when they get out of the will of God, then he punishes the people. But this is the finish of it all. I know the big thing that woke me up was when they reformed the Roman Empire. That was, to me, the piece that said, okay, we're it. We are the folks living in this time right now, and we better get folks awake and aware of that because, you know, in the blink of an eye, it's going to all go south. And especially for believers, especially, they have to know that this is the time. And I know they're going to talk about a great falling away first, but they talk about
it's already
great
here.
Revival.
It's already here. Go ahead, Doc, but the great falling away is already here because, and you go ahead and finish up your calls and in your thought, and I'll go to China briefly, then I'll go to the mainstream church of today, if you don't mind. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Certainly. I forgot where I was going with that. So why don't you just go ahead and talk on China, because I forgot. I was listening to you.
Well, the thing of it is, with China, I'm going to tell you something. With China, okay, how did they get where they're at? Well, let's just be brief. A minute and a half, 2 minutes, if I can do that. You know, I got a big mouth and I can talk for hours. I can talk for 20 hours about this stuff.
The floor
let's
is
just,
yours, man.
Let's just see. Let's go back and see. Do you remember? America was the what? The sweat, the blood, the tears, the broken fingers, industrialized nation. We were it. We were on top. We built everything. We did it the best. I mean, even from cars to all parts and everything, for our auto parts and everything, we were the kingpin of everything. Do you know why? Because guess what? We built it better. and nobody could touch us. But guess what? Let me tell you what happened. Greedy elite corporations saw that they could make money by outsourcing. So they went to the lobbyists, went to the politicians and said, look, we want this. We want this trade agreement. We want to do this. We want to outsource everything. Well, look, hey, I want to tell you something. When you depend upon, I have never, and by the way, I try not to buy one flipping thing made from China, and I'll tell you why. And I'm not speaking ill of the Chinese people. They're trying to survive themselves. But what I'm saying is you can't buy that product, get it home from the flipping store when something ain't broke in it because it's made out of alloys, okay? It's not made out of true American steel. It's made out of alloy. In fact, you can buy something from Pacific Steel up here in Montana that is still true from the steel factory and go to Home Depot, buy a piece of steel made in China. The two can't be welded together like they should be. You know why? Because the alloy will pit and heat up too quick, and you can't put them together. That lets you know that, guess what? Hey, yeah, it may be cheaper to get the steel from China, but it ain't no good, okay, Doc? So what I'm saying is this. We've outsourced everything. We've not become what God intended us to be. We were supposed to be a righteous nation. We were supposed to be a city on a hill, shining our light that couldn't be hidden. But because of greed and because of a few elitists, the corporations that want to have all the money and make us slaves, they outsourced everything. They even moved their companies to China. And guess what? They couldn't have did it without your congressman and your presidents in the past and the present and the future, by the way, allowing this to happen. And guess what? That's why a lot of Americans don't have a job. And if they wake up, smell the coffee, and quit listening to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Fox News, CNN, all of them's the same. Look, they may talk a good talk, but they can't walk the walk, Doc. And what I mean by that is this. Whenever Israel went into bondage in Egypt, guess what they did? They had to make the bricks. They had to make the tar and all that and everything, but they got paid nothing for it. Here we are again today. Let me run something else by you. Now when Joseph and Mary had Jesus when he was a little baby, guess what? There was a law passed, kill all two and under by Herod the Great. Well, guess what? Jesus' papa, okay, Joseph and Mary, they broke that law, went and hid to Egypt now, okay? Let's go back to Exodus, glory to God. Let's go back to it when all the Pharaoh told all the midwives, kill them two and under because he was after Moses' end. Well, guess what they did? They disobeyed that law. Well, we can go on and on all night, but what I'm trying to say is this. China is doing what they got to do to survive. That's why they're dumping the dollar. And I don't blame China for doing it. God knows I don't blame them. You know why? Because they as a people are trying to survive. They are trying to get out money. But what they are buying, let me get my point, what they're buying is assets and commodities they can put their hands on. They don't have a Federal Reserve note that's going to be just wiping your butt on here pretty shortly. What they have, they're buying gold. They're buying oil, they're buying wheat, they're buying everything they can get their hands on, okay? And I don't blame them for doing it, and we as American people ain't doing it by and large. You are, and I am, and a lot of other people are, but I'm saying there's 300-something million Americans, and we ain't doing it, and guess what? When it all comes down, guess what they're going to do? It says in James chapter 5, they're going to cast stuff in the streets. I'm talking about people that think they're millionaires. They're going to cast their silver and the gold in the streets because it ain't going to be no good. It's cankered. And it says you've held back the wages of the wage earner, and guess what? The Lord of Sabbath has seen it and heard it, and he's going to kick your butt. Go ahead.
So let's talk about Egypt a little bit more, right? Because we know, I mean, to me, I've narrowed it down to the enemy. The enemy is Marxism, but a lot of folks don't know that the tenets of Marxism came from ancient Babylon and Egypt because
that's where it originated, Babylon and Egypt.
That's right. Now they're bringing that government style, and it's always the government style that's appealing to the folks that either don't have or that don't want to do something. And by introducing those tenets into America, it created an entire class of folks, and I could even get into immigration where they actually imported huge numbers of people just to be voting blocks for the Marxist policy here.
Absolutely.
And we're in the last bastion of freedom in the world. If we allow Marxism to completely take over here, then we've fallen to the Luciferians. Their green cap and trade government that gets rid of the one for the good of the many is going to be the law of the world after that. And so I guess what I'm saying is what are some of the things that you think we should be doing right now to counter this?
Well, let me stop and say this for a minute. Exactly what you said is totally 100% accurate because and here's the thing. A lot of people hated me on YouTube. A lot of people hate me today. But what they have to do is respect me. They at least respect me because I always take what I say and what I do from the Word of God. You know, the Word of God says that they will love the creation more than the Creator. They're using the creation, the Greenpeace movement, all the spotted owl, and y'all know all about that, the minnow in California and everything, and Rodriguez, and they can't even farm now. The whole nine yards, what they're doing is saying the creation matters more than the Creator, okay? We're going to, and by the way, you go back, look at what Israel did, okay? Time, you know, Moses was coming down with the tablets, and guess what? Little old boy Aaron, the underpriest, they said, no, I'll give us something to worship, so they melted it down, you know, the earrings and all that, and made a molten calf. Well, guess what? All you got to do is look at flipping Wall Street. There's a brass bull up there. They're worshiping the calf rather than worshiping the Creator. Then you got Al Gore. You got all his minions and George Soros and all them. Well, you know, they say they can't pass the Kyoto Treaty, you know, in Copenhagen. They don't have to pass it. You know why? The EPA. The EPA, an evil government entity, is going to force you to pay the tax. You got to pay a tax to breathe, okay? So here we are. Now, I understand and know that God's Word says that the dollar has to collapse, Doc. It has to.
Amen.
Because you cannot issue a world currency or, per se, the mark of the beast without collapsing all other currencies, okay? I was with a friend of mine yesterday eating breakfast, and we were talking, and we've got a big plan we're doing right now, but I won't talk about it right now. But he asked me, he said, why is the British pound so strong? I said, because that's what they want. And what I mean by that is there's a few Luciferian elitists that control everything. Look, gold should be $2,500, but it ain't, okay? Now, don't that make somebody want to scratch their head that's invested in it? Why ain't it jumping through the roof? Well, they don't want it to jump through the roof, okay? Doc, and people need to realize that, guess what? I am not, and I hope people can have enough common sense or understanding when I say what I'm saying to know that I'm not down in the United States of America. I am not a United States of America citizen. I am a sovereign citizen of God, okay? You understand? God knows I could spend timeless points on that. Our citizenship is in heaven. Yours is, Doc. Mine is, too. We're just passing through this earth. Now, the land we're on, God made us tenants for it, okay? You happen to be where you're at. I'm where I'm at. We are supposed to be good stewards in everything we say and do. And when the evil comes in to destroy, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, above all, stand against the evil, okay? You know, and a lot of people want to, you know, talk about this, that, and other, about weapons or whatever. Well, look, the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. Won't that piss some folks off? And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not an eloquent speaker. It's called the sword of the Spirit. If you go over and look in Revelation 19, it says, out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword, and it destroys the evil people, and it casts Satan into hell. Now, brother, I can't help but just go along with God. And you know, that makes me a minority in you, too. But the thing of it is, these Christians or these churches that are filled up, whether they're Lutheran, Baptist, Church of God, I don't care. One God, two God, three God, glory to God. They don't have their act together. If they did, you know what? Guess what? They would not be driving the Cadillacs. They would not be building the bigger buildings they're building, okay? Because, by the way, Jeremiah said, God said it'd come a day that I will not dwell in a temple made by hands, but I dwell in the heart and mind of the believer. That's why you got the goosebumps you've got, and I've got what I've got that hangs on me, because God said, I want to dwell in men. I don't want to dwell in a building. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, not sit on a pew and be a dummy. You go to church on Sunday and screw somebody's wife on Monday, see? But that's what we got, and I don't blame the lost people. I blame the church. Go ahead.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I for one, used to be. Well, I went to school at a Baptist, a Southern Baptist school, for high school. You know, I grew up in organized religion, but I didn't really learn what the Bible meant until I actually read the whole thing. I read it like a book. In fact, I've done it on more than one occasion, and it was a whole lot different than a pastor picking out two or three verses from different books relating them to each other, then the way that it reads when you read it straight through. Even if you just read each individual book straight through, the message is very different. And so I guess what I'm saying is organized religion, I think, was designed by these same folks to keep people looking in the wrong direction. And, you know, like, let's talk about the rapture for a second. I know that our feelings are similar on that. I firmly believe that we're going to be here, that we're going to be here, that you're going to have to pick either good or evil. And I think that there are enough good men here in America that we might be able to turn this thing around one more time, or at least be the eagle at the end of Revelation. I truly believe that the good men of God, that we're the eagle in Revelation. And I thought maybe you'd have some thoughts on that.
I do, Doc, and I thank you for bringing that up because, by the way, the rapture, it was never mentioned till the 1800 something, and I think Darby brought it up. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, and by the way, I don't have nothing in front of me. I'm pacing back and forth up here in the bedroom. I don't need it because you know what? I got it in my heart, okay? You know, if they came in tonight and said, I got to have your Bible, big deal. Hey, you ain't took my Bible because guess what? The Word of God lives in my heart because His name is Jesus. He said, before Abraham was, I am. So with that being said, let me say this, brother. The rapture theory, the pre-trib rapture theory, listen, that's what it is, a theory. Jesus, if you go read Matthew 24, and I don't know who we got listening to that, but let me tell you something. I love every person that is listening and every person that ain't listening. But I will tell you this. I'll put it to you like this. Why gamble? Why gamble and roll the dice? Because I used to shoot pool for a living and this, that, and other. And I did a lot of bad stuff, okay? And if God can forgive me, He can forgive anybody. But why gamble and say, you know, I am my own God, and then in the end you wind up in hell? Okay, all right, watch this. If there ain't no Jesus, if there ain't no God, if you already have believed in Him, you ain't lost nothing. But if there is one, you've lost everything. So with that being said, this pre-tribulation rapture that God's going to snatch us out of here and people are going to fall out of planes, going to crash, no, that ain't reality. Let me tell you about reality, okay? God told Noah to build an ark, a place of safety, okay? God did not take Noah to heaven. What God did is told Noah what to build. In 120 years, he did it. These people were laughing at him. He's building a boat in the desert, Doc, and everybody was laughing and scoffing him and spitting on him. But you know what? He kept doing what God said to do. And when the rains came, the floods came, he did not leave. What he did is he rose above. He had enough stuff done that God, when God shut the ark, he still was in the flood, but guess what? He didn't drown. That's the same thing that's finna take place here when it comes to Revelation chapter 6, opening up the seals, the seven seals and all that. And I could go on and on and on. Let me tell you, brother, I'm going to tell you, God did not take Paul out. Okay, Paul was killed. James was killed. His head was cut off. The Apostle Peter was crucified upside down, and the reason he was, they was going to crucify him right side up. He said, I ain't worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Turn me upside down. And the list goes on and on and on. You know, John was on the Isle of Patmos. They made him go up a plank and dropped him in olive oil, 350 degrees, boiled his skin off. And by the way, after that, he wrote the book of Revelation, you know. And by the way, the book of Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ because He's the Word. What I'm saying is this. Satan wants people to be complacent. Satan wants people not to prepare. Satan wants people not to be ready for what's coming, because when they're not, Satan can sit back and laugh and say, ha, 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 I got you. You know, the Bible says a thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and life abundantly. But He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. See, He said, if you love me, you'll get ready. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 24, He says, when you see all these things come to pass, look up, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. Well, you go back in the Greek, that look up, lift up your head don't mean walk around with your eyes in the sky because you're going to break your stinking neck. What it means is straighten your act up and get ready because trouble's coming, but I'm coming back and I'm going to kick tail. Anyway, but go ahead.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So here's I get a lot of questions, especially, I posted a video promo for this particular episode over at YouTube, and a lot of folks were asking about why you got so much food there, what types of things are best, kind of quantities, how much do you think you should have. I know in my opinion, I think it's going to be bad. You better be able to survive long enough to pull in the first crop. Some of your thoughts on that, and then go into a little bit on why you think it's that way.
Well, I based what I did on the Bible, okay? If you remember, now watch, I'm going to slow down and calm down a little bit. I get excited when we're talking about Jesus, and Doc, I love you, man. God bless you and your family and everybody else out there. But here's the thing. There's types and shadows in the Bible all the way through it. What I mean is this. okay? If you go back and look at Joseph, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Well, how many years of tribulation we got? We got 7 years, okay? You go back and look, and by the way, America has had a bunch of years of plenty, okay? But here's the thing. We became materialistic instead of putting up for it. You know, when people were making money, you know, a couple of years ago before it started falling, you know, they were buying the big screen TVs, doing this, doing that, instead of putting up food. Well, God was trying to show people that are in tune, here's where we're headed. And I thank my God in heaven that he showed me. And I know he showed a bunch more folks beside me, but there were folks that, listen, God said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. But that money became a god to them. He didn't become a god to Joseph, okay? What he did is he took everything that came. He stored up grain, by the way, like you said, talking about China and the grain selling, you know, up here in Montana. Listen, people planted grain like crazy, wheat and everything else. But what happened in 08 was this, and they controlled it, the evil son of a guns, and I'm going to try not to say a dirty word because I'm preaching. They dropped the price right before harvest time, man. And the farmers didn't make nothing up here. That's what they do. And then the government, if you go back and look at your archives, look it up, grain sold to China. They sold every bit of our reserves to them. Well, what we should have did as a nation that loves God, we should have kept it, and we should be keeping and put everything up, you know. And by the way, they bought a bunch of seeds, heirloom seeds. You have GMO seeds to eat. The government bought heirloom seeds and put them up over there in, I think it's Norway, okay. They know what's coming. They listen, if you think that they don't have people, the government don't have people that study that word of God from front to back, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to outdo God by putting their stuff. It don't matter what they do, Doc. When it gets time, when God gets on the hunt, that's what I call it, when Jesus gets pissed, okay, he's going to hunt them down. I don't care what they have in Colorado under that airport. I don't care where they got all their stuff done. And I don't care who's up. And listen, I'll say this. Let me say this. I love the law enforcement, every one of them that go by the Constitution and the Bible. I'll say that first and foremost. I support everyone, but I hate a shyster, and I cannot stand a son of a gun that puts on a badge and a gun and thinks, because that's what he's got, that he can do anything and everything he wants to anybody in America. That don't work that way, because let me tell you what's number one in my book, Doc. Number one in my book is God, because I'm not afraid to die. Listen, Paul said to be absent from the body is present with God. But let me get back to the food thing for a minute, because you'd ask about it. Here's what I've done, okay? I have 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I have to count them up, brother. I got so many kids and my wife. Okay, I put up things like tuna fish, okay, that ain't filled with the mercury. You can get the albacore, you can get other. I put up things that I know I'm going to have to eat when I can't go to the store. Now, the stuff that I put up that's good, organic, totally organic, we eat right now. There's going to come a day you can't get totally organic, okay? There's going to come a day when you have to open up that can of beans and you got to eat it and you may not like it. So what I would say to people is make sure that you have food. Please don't buy that MSG junk. It'll kill you, graveyard dead. And I'm not trying to preach, you know, tell everybody they got to be totally organic. We can't afford it. But anything with MSG, don't touch it if you ain't got to, okay? Campbell's soup, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Buy stuff that you know that ain't got MSG, high fructose corn syrup, and all that in it. And, you know, like our toothpaste. We bought that. We've had it, man. The Jason toothpaste. It don't have fluoride. You know, the Spry toothpaste, the Paleo, all that stuff. We've already bought it. We did a little bit of research. It don't take no time to do it. Buy your Allicy. You know, I've got Allicy right here in front of me. I've got Nature Care Sinufix. Oh, my gosh, man, I got the nettle. I've got the thistle. You know, I've got all this stuff that I bought when I had money. I did not blow my money, Doc. Get your vitamins. Get all the things you need. But here's the most thing you need to get. And by the way, don't forget the ammo and the weapons. I don't want to get in that much because y'all know what I did on YouTube videos. Make sure you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and God will lead and guide and direct you in everything you need to say and do. Okay, Doc? But you know, you cannot, you have to go to Costco or wherever, or Sam's Club, whatever, buy things. When you look at the label, make sure it's got a limited amount of stuff in it that's going to hurt you, okay? Put it up and get it ready. Keep it stored between 50 and 60 degrees. It'll last. And by the way, let me run this by you. I bought some tuna fish, been out of date for over a year. I've kept it 50 to 60 degrees, and it's been out of date over a year. I've been eating it, and guess what? It don't bother me, brother, because the out of date don't mean nothing. And I'm not telling somebody to eat it, Vienna sausage or whatever, that's been out of date 2 years in the back of their pickup in the toolbox. But what I am saying is this. Get what you can get and get it now because you're going to need it. And I'm going to tell you, I will not look at my kids' backbones. I will not look at my wife's backbone because the Bible says he that won't take care of his family is worse than the infidel, which means unbeliever. So I put my money, my resources, my efforts into making sure we're going to have food and water and a way to protect it, Doc.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I got to pay the bills here real quick. And
then, I hear you.
We've had a couple callers in queue now for about 20 minutes. So you want to take a couple of calls when we come back in?
Sure, that'd be great.
All right, then I'm going to take us out. We'll be back in about 4 minutes, folks.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The three W's dot theinternationalforecaster.com.
The Proof Negative Show. We are freedomizers, freedomizing freedoms to the freedomist for freedoming freedoms to people who simply just want their freedom back. The Proof Negative Show. Weekdays, 9 to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 Pacific, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Join me right here at Freedomizer Radio on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays for Hardtail News with NSM Doc, 4 to 6 Pacific, 7 to 9 Eastern, and on Fridays, 6 to 9 Pacific, that would be 9 to midnight. Hardtail News with NSM Doc, New World Order ahead, hang on, it's going to be a rough ride.
Welcome back to Hardtail News with NSM Doc. Of course, this is the Proof Negative Show. We're going to go into the second hour, and we're here with End Times Watchman. A lot of you know him from YouTube and his preparedness video. Some of you may have caught him on the radio. I know that when I first got involved with seeking the truth, I guess folks would say, although I was a Christian, so I was seeking that truth as well, that when I ran across his channel, he was kind of like a beacon of light in all of the confusion of all this new information that was flooding into me. And so it's a great pleasure to have him with us. And So here we go in the second hour, Billy, and I'm gonna bring in callers, and I want to let you guys know, right, that there's a bunch of you, and I'm going to go in order, so we'll try and get to all of you. And are you back with us, Bill?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
All right, all right. Well, then I'm going to bring in the first caller. This is a 970 area code. So hello, caller, can you hear us?
Yes, this is Chance Burnett, and I live in Marble, Colorado.
Hey, Chance, you're a regular. We always love to have you here. Go ahead. You got a question for me or Mr. End Times Watchman?
Yeah, first of all, I'd just like to say the truth is so hard to find, and when you're looking for a spiritual leader in these times, you definitely want somebody that can step out of the guns and the food and talk about spiritual preparedness, and to get your oil, you know, or top your lamp with oil, and I just think that's just fantastic. I'm so proud of you, End Time.
Well, I'll tell you, man, it ain't me, it's God, and I would say to anybody out there while you're online, I'm getting choked up here, buddy. Anybody out there listening that don't know if they believe in God or whatever, I just challenge you, just borrow a Bible or get a Bible and read John chapter 3 and read Ezekiel chapter 18, because I'm telling you, it talks about the soul that sins, it shall die. And listen, I'm not going to pay for what Doc does. Doc ain't going to pay for what I do. You're not going to pay for what your wife does. What God's going to do in the day that you stand before the judgment seat, he's going to look at you and say, hey, okay, you did this, this, this. Okay, you had 14. Let's take Tiger Woods, for example. And, you know, I think about him. He's in a sex clinic, you know. He had all them gals, you know, and everything, the wife. Well, think about it. All he had to do was remain monogamous, okay? But, you know, he's an adulteress. That what that means, you know, you go look at the Ten Commandments, is do not cheat on your wife or do not cheat on your husband. So what I'm saying is this. We have got to individually work out our salvation with trembling and fear before the Lord Jesus Christ. And what
Amen.
That means is not depend on that preacher, whether he's Catholic or Baptist or church. You have to take an individual step like Doc and I did, and you have to say, you know, what thus saith the Word of God, okay? And by the way, if you show me another author that's still alive older than God, I'll be glad to read his book.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm going to get the question real quick. This is on the harp situation and see what End Time thinks about it. But, you know, on several different roads or creeks or whatever you want to, we've had the evidence, like from Hugo Chavez to people actually observing the magnetic pulse from the harp system to, you know, some definite heavy-duty signs saying that, you know, there's certain powers that be that represent the American people that have taken advantage of the Haitian people, and they've painted themselves as, you know, saviors and painted themselves with our charity and our empathy for the Haitian people, and yet they've monopolized the airport and not allowed the help to get in, and they're putting stipulations enslaving the Haitian people in the name of, you know, the American people, and you know, and they're sitting there saying that, well, send us your cash and we'll spend the money for you. And, you know, when do we become accountable as a people when the innocent are literally laying on the ground and then they're being kicked while they're on the ground and enslaved that we'll help you, but you got to let us run your country how we want. And for us to do that to that country in the first place, I mean, when do the American people become accountable before God for what is going on? I mean, when, you know, the Haitian people can't rise up and protect themselves, but, you know, the American people, we have the ability to do something, and, you know, when do we become accountable when God sets us there and he says, you know, what did you do when you knew these things, these injustices and these persecution and these murders were going on, and I gave you freedom, and what did you do with it? You know, your talents. Did you bury them in the ground like we're doing with our guns and our food to take care of our own? Or are we spending our talents and investing them to so that they will multiply, you know? And I want your opinion in time on that.
I would be glad to respond to that. Let me say this first and foremost. you know, when it comes to the American people or whatever, I believe they have hearts of gold. Most of us do. You know, I'll put an example. You know, the Bible says don't do your alms for men. I'm as broke as any human being's ever been as far as I ain't worked in 2 years or whatever. You know, we went to Walmart today. God keeps providing. But listen, I didn't have 20 bucks to give this lady on the corner that's homeless, but I gave it to her. You know what? If she goes and buys liquor with it, or she's already drunk off of it, or she, you know, whatever she does with it, that ain't my problem. What I did was obey God, and I gave it to my wife and said, hand it out to winner, tell her Jesus loves her, and let's move on. Okay, so that being said, I did it out of a heart of innocence. Now, when you go back to the Haitian situation or the matter of fact, Indonesia, wherever you want to go to, okay, here's the thing. You got to remember that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to give you life and give it abundantly. He will also put you in situations like you referred to the parable of the talents. Okay, it's up to us as individuals to realize and understand that, guess what, we can go over there and help them and do the best we can, but we have to make sure the conduit for that money, okay, by the way, the taxpayer money, not the government don't have nothing, and I'm not trying to get on a government bandwagon. They are freaking broke. They never have had a dime to start with. It is the taxpayer's money that feeds that line up there, that puts its paw and destroys everything it does. So with that being said, here's what I would say to you. You know, as an individual, I know you're frustrated, so am I, okay, with the Haiti situation and everything else. But remember this. Satan is going to monopolize and have his money out of all of it. I mean, if you look down there, you see people with pickaxes and digging and doing this. And you know, I have followed it a bunch, but let me get back to my main point. What you're going to have always, because our government, okay, and most governments on this earth are run by Satan. And I'll prove it to you by Scripture. It says the prince of this world is already here, but he has nothing in me. I'm quoting Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul said it too. He said he called him the prince of the power of the air. So he controls the media and the airways. So don't become distraught in, you know, what ain't getting to the Haitians, because, by the way, God knew when they were planning the terrorist attacks, okay, this synthetic terrorism, and knocked our towers down, and they stole our money by the Federal Reserve since 1913. If you don't think God sees all that, but what God's sitting up there scratching his head with is why are my people sitting back that they call themselves by my name and doing nothing, okay?
Right.
The thing of it is the blame goes with us, not with an evil government. What we have got to do, it's kind of like this, and I'm going to get in this, and I'm going to try to be real reserved where I won't have another visit from Homeland Security about nothing I say. Let me say this, okay? The first sign of abortion, if we'd have took them out there, put them in the street, and blow their freaking head off, okay, there wouldn't be so many doctors wanting to do abortion. And the list goes on and on and on. But, you know, the Word of God says this, hey, do not commit murder. That is, don't shed innocent blood, okay? Now, if somebody comes knocking my door down and out of yours, I'm pretty sure if they knock your door down, you're going to pop them up, you know? Because why? Because you have the authority under God's Word to defend your home. And it all goes back to Romans 13. They have twisted that whole chapter. And by the way, the first verse says, the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, would God ordain a power to kill babies? Would God ordain a power to tax you to death? And the list goes on. And I could go for a thousand daggum items. Now, here's the thing. We, as God's people, have let it happen. And we, me, I'm talking about Billy. I'm talking about end times, have sat back and allowed it. Not since 2000, before then I did. So here's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know you love Jesus Christ. I know your heart goes out to them people. Here's what you do. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, you're going to need that prayer closet. If you know anybody else, you better tell them to get in it, because what's coming in the days ahead, Luke chapter 21, it talks about men's heart failing them. That means heart attack and dying, dropping dead from looking at those things that come upon the earth. You know, Haiti's had it. Indonesia's had it. Several other places have had it. China's had earthquakes, killed thousands. America's not seen it, but I guarantee you, I'm not trying to be a prophet. I guarantee you it's fit to come, because guess what? The richest nation on this earth in the less amount of years is fit to get judged by God. And you know what? We deserve it. But God's got a remnant in pockets of people that he will protect. But here's the thing. You have to put your trust in him. they that put their trust in the Lord shall never be put to shame. Okay? Go ahead, buddy. Hello?
That's hard to say something to, huh, Chance?
Yeah, it is. And I don't want to like set any kind of trap or anything like that. That's not my intent. I just feel like, you know, we're accountable for allowing. I mean, there's literal murder and theft on so many levels. And I'm sorry, but let's say, you know, I am reserved and slow to anger, and I wait and I wait and I wait. But then the Lord, you know, I mean, He gave me a brain. He gave me a heart. He gave me a sense of justice and goodness. And the innocent are being taken advantage of. Those Haitians, the abortions, all these things, if 10% of it is true, I mean, we need to come to some kind of head where, okay, you know, I mean, you know, you can claim your sovereignty and you can get your allodial title to your land all you want, but, you know, there comes a point when you stand idly by and a woman is being raped right in front of you. I mean, not literally, but I mean, it really looks like it. These people, and you know, you got these two ex-presidents, and they paint themselves with charity and mourning, and then they say, "Send us your cash. Don't send water. Don't send clothes. Just send us your cash." And you know, that is so Luciferian, and it's just blasphemy, and it's so wrong, and so many people have tried to send stuff, and they've literally monopolized the airport in Haiti, and they won't allow the stuff in unless they control it, and they manipulate Haitian government in order to help.
Hey, let me ask you a question, okay? And God bless you, brother, for your heart and everything. Oh, I can tell that your heart is broken, as mine is, with the nation and everything else. Let me ask you this, all right? Back when there was elections, okay, you know, people get put in power by lobbyists. Your vote don't mean nothing. Save your gas, save your diesel. Don't even bother with it because it ain't going to make a difference. Because remember, the Constitution's just a GD piece of paper, and Obama and Bush are just like twin brothers. The list goes on and on. But let me say this. You know, what God requires is this. What God requires is what we do is we go by His. And by the way, the Ten Commandments were never annulled when Jesus Christ came. He said, "Not one jot or tittle of the law shall pass till all be fulfilled." Now, if you read what he meant by that, guess what? He ain't set his feet back on the Mount of Olives. He has not come back, and he is not. If you go back to Isaiah 8:9, it says, "The government shall rest upon Jesus' shoulders." Well, guess what? There ain't no government on this earth that rests upon their shoulders, not even Israel's, and I'm not trying to down or criticize nobody or nothing, okay? I understand that he that blesses Israel shall be blessed, all that. But that means he that blesses Israel is God's chosen people. By the way, you can't be chosen except for Jesus Christ, okay? So with that being said, what I try to do is this. I try to put my energy, my focus on what I can do to not support the evil BASTARDs. That's an illegitimate child, and I won't say it publicly, but that's what they are, illegitimate children that act like they belong to the family. What I do is I cut the titty off. And if I may say it this way, Doc, I'm not trying to be, I just ain't adequate speaking. Cut the titty off and don't let them suck on the breast anymore. And how do you do that? Well, you know, I had people when I had a radio program. How do you do that? What you do is you make your decision based on your environment and what you are doing to support the murdering of babies or the Haitian, you know, donations or whatever. Those that will not listen to you, let them keep listening. You can listen. We're all grown-ups here. The Bible says that we're all going to be without excuse. All creation's going to be without excuse. And what I mean is I know you get frustrated and get down about it, so do I, man, but here's what I do. Every time I get frustrated and down, I go back and I look at David, okay? He went down to Ziklag. He was on the border with the Philistines, the enemy, because all of his people had forsook him. But you know what he said? He said, "When everybody else had forsook me, I encouraged myself in God." That's what you've got to do. You got to encourage yourself in the Lord and realize that, guess what? Me and you, bro, and Doc, all three of us, we're going through the same thing that David went through, that Samuel went through. And I mean, take old Samson, for instance. I mean, they couldn't nobody kick his butt. But guess what? A woman did because she seduced him. And what's happening is this government is seducing our money, our livelihood, and they're killing our babies. They're doing everything they can do to get us to believe that they are from God. And if I had time, brother, I'm telling you, I could take Romans 13 and cut it to pieces and tell you what God said it says. But having said that, I don't want to try to preach tonight, brother. I'm just trying to answer questions and comments, man.
Yeah, and with that, I'm going to have to, I you call in all the time, Chance, and I love you calling in, but the caller queue is full, and I'm never going to get to anybody else if I don't move along here. So I want to thank you for calling in with your questions, and I want to thank you for the great answers, too, Billy.
Thank you so much, End Time, and make sure you leave a website or some kind of way to contact you so we can encourage you, too. Thank you so much.
Hey, God bless you, man.
Hey, and on a word of encouragement too, Billy, I wanted to let you know, right, that this was a line in the chat. It said, "Billy's inspiration reintroduced me to Jesus." Thank you, Billy.
Praise the Lord, man. I thought
you might like that. That's from Doodah Man. And,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, and there's another fellow here too that I guess you used to correspond quite a bit with is Woodworking Men. And he's in the room here and told me to tell you that he really misses you as well. I'm going to get us here to the next caller, which is a 775 area code. Hello, caller, 775 area code. You're on with Doc and Billy. Tell us where you're from and what's your question?
Oh, I'm from Northern Nevada. Hey, Doc. Hey, Billy. How you guys doing?
Hey, oh, pretty good. You, sir?
I'm doing great. Hey, I just wanted to tell both of you, you have both changed me.
Well, thank you. I hope it was for the better.
Yeah, you both changed me in so many ways. I'm prepared. I'm working on my spirituality thanks to you, Billy.
Well, God bless you, buddy. God bless you, man.
I just
Amen.
Wanted to say I'm a changed man.
Well, thank you, man. God puts it on our hearts to reach out to people. I know mine. When I asked God what he had planned for me, and I accepted that wholeheartedly because he gave me back everything when I had nothing, and so I know exactly how you feel. I was in the same place, and so I just want to say, God bless you, and hopefully you can take that information and wake up someone else too.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm sorry to get emotional, but it's touched me so greatly.
Shoot, man, I'm gonna tell you something. Hey, when you get somebody that pulls you out of a situation like you did me years ago, when I had a .22 put in my head and the bullet was in there and it clicked, and it didn't fire, and the firing pin showed it was supposed to go off, I'm going to tell you something, brother. It'll wake you up. It'll let you know that there's powers higher than anybody else can think of. Because I'm going to tell you, God's got a purpose for all of us, man. He has got a major purpose for us. Now, listen, we have to sit back. We have to be vigilant. We have to keep directing our path toward him. It's kind of like with Doc. Doc's overwhelmed 16 hours a day. 5 years ago, I guarantee you, Doc, you'd have said, "I ain't fixing to be doing this. You're crazy." If somebody come up to you and told you that, Doc, you say, "You're a lunatic." But you know what? God has his ways. He conditions us. He loves us. He keeps his arms around us. And every time we fall, he picks us up, and he loves us. He don't beat us to death. That ain't God. God don't beat us to death. Now, God hates perpetual evil. Those that are the elite and all, he has got a plan to destroy them. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. In the book of Daniel, it says that they that know their God shall perform exploits. Our time is coming, okay? I've already seen my time begin to come, okay? For years and years and years, I'd preach the word of God. I'd get thrown out of churches. The pastor tell me, "Weren't you a little hard on him?" And all I was preaching was the word of God. I wasn't telling some story about some going to get a chicken basket after, this, that, and other. And I just stuck with the word of God, and they hated my guts, man. And most of the time, the people that hated me was the elders. It wasn't the people sitting back there that was on cocaine or that were drunk. They loved to hear the message I had because it transformed and changed them. When you put the word of God out, it will do the rest of the work. He don't need us to pat his word on the back. He needs us to put it out as messengers, not condemn the people that are stealing cocaine, drugs, whatever, homosexuality, prostitution, whatever. He needs us to love them, but if we love them, as we put the truth out there, they'll either have to run from it or run to it. And when they run to it, God's arms are open to guess what? Say, hey, I've been waiting on you a long time. I love you no matter what you're doing. It's kind of like the gal that was, the Pharisees, they were pissed because she wouldn't screw them, you know, and that's why Jesus wrote in the sand, what I believe. You know, the Pharisees and all them brought him and said, well, you know, look at her. She's a prostitute. He said, no, wait a minute. Let me write. He who was out sin cast first stone. See, that's the way I am. Let me tell you something, brother. I have done everything there is known unto mankind almost. But you know what? God received me. When I talked to him, not through nobody else, direct line, the royal telephone to heaven, he picked that phone up for me. When I was on my knees and I should have been dead, he picked it up and said, I love you the way you are. And, buddy, that's when he started changing me. You cannot wait till you get changed to come to God. You got to come just as you are and let him change you daily. Praise God. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. I couldn't agree more. That's exactly how it worked for me. It was a walk where I just had to trust in God because I had tried everything my own way a million times and it did nothing but bring me misery and get me in trouble. Once I turned stuff over to God, things started coming together and I found that He has never given me more than I could handle.
He won't do it, Doc. And let me tell you, let me add this too. You cannot buy your way to heaven by writing a check on Sunday and throwing it in that collection plate. You cannot buy your way to heaven. If you could have bought Jesus, let me tell you, they would have bought him. The Pharisees would have bought him when he went in there in that temple, when the Romans and all that, the Romans and the Pharisees, when Jesus took the whip in there, he said, you cannot buy salvation. That's why he ran them out there, buddy. They were trying to do a commerce of salvation. And here we go again, Doc, and I'm not trying to run on, but God knows, I may die tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know. But let me say this. Here we go again, Doc. Here we go again. The Roman government controlled what went on in the temple back in Jesus' day, and he got ticked about it, and he threw them out, okay? Here we go again. The Roman government today, American Roman government, the Western leg, and the what? The modern-day church, the pastors, 501c3, they are doing what the government says. They will not preach against anything the government says don't preach against. I'm talking about mainstream, okay? Just like the mainstream media, I'm telling you, people, you do not have to go to a church, okay? You do not have to go to a building with a steeple. What you have to do is this. I'm going to serve you, God. I know I'm doing this, that, and other, but you know what? I ain't going to drink tomorrow as much as I drank today. I ain't going to snort as much coke. And what I'm saying is this. Just make it up in your mind tonight and know when you lay your head on your pillow and say, you know what, God, I know I've been doing this, but God, I ask you to help me. I don't ask no doctor, no nothing, no psychologist. I ask you, Jesus, because you died for me on that cross, and guess what? He shed his blood just as much for anybody that's out there right now as he did for me and you, Doc. And that's what people need to realize, and that's the message that ain't being preached, that his blood is just as red and just as good for them as it was for me and you, as it is for me and you every day.
Amen, amen. And with that, I have to move on to the next caller, or we're never going to get
I'm sorry, buddy.
Five. I want to thank you for calling in, man, and God bless you. And here we go to the 706 area code. Hello, 706. Your name, where you're at, and say hello to End Times Watchman. 706, going once. 706, going twice. Okay. So, we've got the next one is from Canada, and I think I know who this probably is, and I think you'll know her too. 250, you're on with End Times Watchman and Doc on Hardtail News. Say who you are and where you're at.
Hey, guys, this is Chris Barfo from over at YouTube there.
How's it going, man? You're on with Billy and Doc. What's your question, and how are you doing, man? You're one of my favorite channels.
Hey, Doc. I'm doing really well. And, Billy, I just wanted to say hi and congratulate the show that's been put together here. I know there's a lot of people out there who have been listening to both Doc and especially Billy, our special guest tonight. And yeah, what an inspirational show. And you can see it in the chat, and you can also hear it in the emotion of the callers. So just having a real blast. I don't want to flap my gums or squawk my beak too much. It's a dream come true to listen to Billy again. And you, of course, as always, Doc.
All right.
Well, God bless you, my friend.
All right, all right. So let's go to the next one. And thank you, Cass. Hey, you've been a friend of mine for a long, long, long time, man. And I appreciate you calling in. I always look forward to seeing you over at YouTube, and you've been around a long time, too. 864, you're on the air with In Times Watchman and Doc.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is Travis, Travanile1 from YouTube.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much, buddy. It's a pleasure to speak with both of you guys.
What's that? hey, the sass going to rise again, ain't it?
I hear you, buddy. I hear you. Billy, I had a message for you, man. I just wanted to tell you that you have been an inspiration to me, lots of my friends. The chat is going crazy. I mean, I'm feeling kind of emotional tonight, too. I can't tell you what an inspiration you've been, you know, to so many people, including myself. I mean, I never thought, you know, a year ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now and, you know, trying to fight evil and stand up against these, you know, what we know they are, Satanists. I mean, this evil that's confronting us. And, I mean, it's just, I mean, me and my daughter would listen to you on Sunday mornings, listen to your sermons, and I just want you to know, man, that you know, you're always in our prayers, and we just really appreciate everything you've done.
Well, hey, buddy, I tell you what, you know what, you was an inspiration to me more than I was to you. I'd watch you get, I would see you grow and do things, and I'll subscribe to you, and I got to tell you, man, you know what. Hey, remember this, we're all equal in the eyes of God. Nobody's bigger than other man, okay? But we all have different callings, you know, but at the same time, when we stand in the middle of this evil and this Luciferian garbage, and, you know, and we can get emotional, and real men do cry, I guarantee they do, buddy, if they got a heart and a soul, because Jesus wept. What did he say? Hey, the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. But you know what? Hey, he sighed. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He sighed, and he told him to come out. You know what? And I'm going to tell you, I believe that's prophetic to what's happened to you, to me, to Doc, and everybody else. We were dead in our grave clothes when we lived in all that sin and everything, and we're blinded. But, you know, once Jesus brought Lazarus out, he told the disciples to loose his grave clothes. That's what we're doing, what Doc's doing, what you're doing, what I'm doing. We're just unwrapping them grave clothes, okay? You know, and that's what God called us to do, and we're all equal in the eyes of God, man.
That's exactly right. We can all come together, and, you know, I don't want to take up too much time because I know there's a lot of people probably calling in, but I just want you to know our prayers are with you, man. It's great to hear your voice again. Keep up the good work. You've been such an inspiration, and I'm going to get off here. Enjoy the show, Doc. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, God bless you, brother.
Yeah, God bless you. Hey, I wanted to let you know, too, that there's another friend of yours here in the chat room, Billy, a Canadian Patriot, 1973. She said to say that she misses you.
Well, praise God for her. I love her to death. I'm going to tell you what, she is, boy, she's something else. Man. She's got such a sweet spirit about her, and I'm going to tell you, she loves God, and you know, hey, I ain't too far, you know, below the border from her, and, you know, it's amazing how people are all different places. We're so close, but yet so far away. But I tell you, you know, the Word of God says that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and it don't matter whether we're 2,000 miles or 500 miles. We may not be able to reach each other right now, Doc, in the physical form, like me and you, but I guarantee you, when that day comes, hey, we're going to gather around that throne, or we're going to gather around this earth, and you know what? We're going to talk about what we're doing now, you know, because Jesus is going to allow us. It says in the Bible, we will be known as we are known, okay? You know, those that didn't, you know, I got family members that don't live for God, and I'm binding them to Jesus Christ, but, you know, I won't know if they don't make it. But I will know Canadian Patriot. I will know you. I will know other people, Tyrenville, all of them. We will know each other, man. And that's what's so great about God. We will not know who ain't with us, but we will know who is with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I firmly believe that God will actually lead you to where you need to be. You know, I know.
Ain't no doubt.
We've set up our place, and we can take care of about 12 folks, and we that's about what we got. We took on a couple extras. And, you know, I know for a fact that if God was to bring somebody to my door that was supposed to be there, that we would take them in and you know, during the time of crisis, because that's really how it's going to be. You know, God, the crisis is going to be, I mean, these are epic times that are coming, like no times that have ever happened in the past is what the Bible says. And so God is going to, the only way people are going to make it is if God is going to have their hand on them. You know, because some of the things that they're talking about, like pestilence, famine, well, the only way you're going to make it through that, if you haven't, if your area is hit by heavy destruction or heavy fighting, is that God's going to have his hand on you, and he's going to lead you to where you need to go. And I know that I would be able to tell someone that God has brought to me from somebody who was going to do us harm, because that's just the way God works in those situations. And I really believe that God is going to be giving us special protections and powers in that time. I don't want to make people think science fiction, but I want to make people think that of a loving God that cares for them and is watching over them in this time of calamity.
Oh, man, I wish you'd please let me comment for a second on that. Number one, you're right. God will lead and guide us in that realm the coming days, okay, because by the way, people, you know, I've even had one of my sisters ask me, you know, I believe I'm living for Jesus, but what's going to keep me from taking the mark of the beast? Well, I'll tell you what's going to do it. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Ghost toward the day of redemption, okay? You're sealed. You're signed, sealed, and delivered. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. God would not seal you with the blood of his Son and then cast you to the wolves, okay? You will know when it comes that day. I've heard a lot of people say, well, this is the mark, that's the mark. You know, a lot of culmination of things are going to bring about the mark, but I'm telling you, if you got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you got your sins covered in the blood of Jesus, I'm not saying live a perfect life. I don't, you don't, Doc, nobody else does. If they do, I want to get them on the phone. Let's do a show with them, because I guarantee I can break them down, analyze them, and get them saved, because they're a liar. But having said that, what's going to come to place is this. Listen, there is a remnant of God, whether they're in Canada, Sacramento, Montana, Georgia, South Carolina, wherever, okay? God has got a remnant, and he is putting his people back together, okay? He is putting his people and drawing them to each other right now, just as he's drawing me and you together. He is drawing his remnant, and you know what? He is going to protect us. Listen, you can have, and let me say this again. I've said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. You can have all the food, all the water, all the weapons, all your stuff paid for, everything you got, but if you ain't got Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, every bit of that stuff you might as well throw out the freaking window of your house tonight, because it ain't going to help you. But if you do got him, these other goods will be assets that will help you, because he would guide you and direct you in how to use them. See, that's what he did with ancient Israel. That's what he's always done. Okay? But we have to use them things as a tool, not as an idol and not as something we worship. Go ahead.
Amen. We got a bunch of callers to get to still, so
go ahead, Doc.
Cut right back to them. And 309, you should be, yes, 309, you should be live with Billy and Times Watchman and Doc on Hardtail News. Go ahead. 309, going once. Oh, well, I couldn't understand 309, so we'll just skip down the line. 231, you're live on Hardtail News with End Times Watchman and Doc. State your name and where you're from and your question.
Hey, Doc, this is Mr. Good Vibrations. That's my YouTube handle. I used to subscribe to U2ETW. I miss you. I have one comment. The spirit has moved me to learn that the mark of the beast is the very chip. And I have held proof for over 25 years, and it just don't take the very chip. I think they're going to con us into taking it somehow. A lot of hospitals are actually subscribing to it. You're going to have to get it if you go into the even to the emergency room before you're treated. And with this Obamacare, I think it's coming, man. It's coming. I don't know when. But thanks, and keep up the good work, and keep fighting the good fight.
Well, thank you very much. As a matter of fact, that was a question that I was going to ask Billy about was, you know, a lot of people talk about Verichip being the mark of the beast. My personal opinion is that it is just a moniker for the beast system. But I think that it may be what John saw in the vision. And I know that they just bought Steel Vault, and they actually put out their policy paper talking about having everything from your medical records to Social Security to everything hooked to that chip. Sure sounds a lot like what John was talking about in Revelation.
Yeah, remember, also, in that Aaron Russo even said, he was talking right with one of the Rockefellers. He said, if we don't like you, we'll just turn your chip off. You won't be able to buy or sell without the mark. And and it says in the Bible, he who hath wisdom will understand. Inside that Verichip, it's more or less contains a barcode. Look at everything with the UPCs is damn well near marked already.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And can I comment? Stay on the line.
Go ahead.
Catherine Albrick, spychips.com or whatever she is. I mean, we had her down at the vaccine rally in Montana when we had the radio station and all, and I agree 100% that it could be. It is part of it if it ain't it, okay? But I can't sit here and tell you that God sent me a certified letter saying that it is it. But I will tell you this. It makes sense because great sores break out on them that took the mark, okay? But, you know, the Word of God says either in the right hand or in the forehead. And I know people have had their hands chopped off and the wrist and all that. I will say this, we are headed towards a cashless society, and if you do not go with the elitist bankers, what I mean by that is not your local community bank, I mean the Rothschilds, this, that, and the other, they own all the money in the world anyway, and I agree with that it could be that you have to get a chip put, you know, smaller than a grain of rice. I've studied it for years, you know, but, and it could be that when they put that in there and then great infection breaks out and this, that, and the other, I'm not saying it is or ain't, but I am saying this. He's dead on the money saying don't take it because, listen, let me say this. Anything that they try to force on you when it comes to buying or selling, don't take it if you ain't got to. None of us can go to the store without buying something without a barcode. That's been going on, UPC code. That's been going on for years. We cannot escape that. But now, as a Christian, blood-bought believer, okay, by God, you know, I didn't do it, Doc didn't do it, Jesus did it. God's not going to put you in hell because you had to scan something over the counter at a Winn-Dixie or whatever. He's not going to put you in hell because that pork and beans or tuna has got a UPC code on it. If that was the case, every human being on this earth is going to burn in hell. But what I will say is do not take a Verichip. Do not take none of that crap because it is part of it if it ain't it. And listen, let me say this with a disclaimer. I'm not saying that the Verichip is it, but I ain't saying it ain't neither. Just like I ain't saying, let me go, God, you're going to have to protect
me. I want to get one word
in. I'm not saying Obama is the Antichrist, but I can point you to 150 items that in the Bible that says that he's by God pretty well close to it, okay? They may throw him under the bus in the next year. I don't know. But what I am saying is everything is pointing, and brother, I agree with you 100%. Everything is pointing to it. Do not take it for nothing. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, I got one more comment. The spirit of the Holy Spirit was the one who furnished me with the information that I got about the Verichip, and that was in 1984.
I'm not saying you ain't right. You get what I'm saying? I'm not
I do. And yeah, the UPC thing is just part of the whole system of being in your face, and only if you're in the know do you recognize it. Just like the symbols that they use all over the sun and the pyramid and everything.
Absolutely. And listen, the first people to take it were the elitists. The richest people on this earth take it. By the way, not only for the money, but for tracking them and everything else. And I'm not saying it ain't it. Don't get me wrong, brother. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit ain't showed you what he showed you. But what I'm getting at is this. Don't take it for nothing, whether it is or it ain't it. And like I said, I'm not downgrading you at all, brother. I'm just saying things that are coming, these things that are already here, we had better wake up and we had better realize that it ain't sent. By the way, look, it's kind of like I said the other night. I was on another radio program, the worst thing I've ever had is a speeding ticket, okay? Punishable by 75, 85, whatever, 100 bucks, okay? Now, listen, if God would have wanted handcuffs on me, he'd have put them on me when I come out of my mama. That's why when they come for me when I ain't done nothing, I won't take the handcuffs. I will be absent from this body and present with Jesus Christ, and I don't want to get into that much, but I'm just simply telling you, you're either a man or a mouse, you know, whether it comes to taking a bear chip or letting them knock your door down for nothing and handcuffing you, take you to a FEMA camp or a concentration, whatever you want to call it. Listen, we have to realize that either we're going to serve God all the way or nothing. Go ahead.
That's
amen,
right.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless
yeah,
you, brothers. This
God
is Mr. Good Vibrations. We're going to be signing off, man. You keep fighting the good fight, Doc. And
all right,
BW,
man. Thank
man.
You for calling in. I know who this is, too, and I want to thank
yeah.
you for calling in. And I look forward to next time you give me a call and we can chat some more. I got to get to the next caller, man. So
yeah, bye.
All right, man. Yeah, we got one more caller in queue. And then, you know what? I want to talk a little bit about... give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and the whole do as the government says. That actually, I wanted to dedicate a whole segment to that, but there are so many callers that we're not going to be able to get to that. We will, but not in the depth I wanted to. So here we go. Hey, 706 area code, you are live with Doc and Billy in Times Watchman on Hardtail News. State your name and what's your question?
I'd be civil unrest in the blog chat room.
All right, how you doing?
I'm from Columbus, Georgia. How are y'all doing this evening?
Columbus, Georgia? That's
Columbus,
where I
Georgia.
Hate. Upbending, baby. Hey, ooh, that's where I went to boot camp.
I hear you. I'm just right outside of Fort Benning, so I know.
I hear you, brother.
I just wanted to mention one thing. It was just kind of strange to me. I was just messing around on YouTube earlier today. Saw an ABC video that an actual news clip that somebody posted, and it was talking about Romans 13, which y'all were talking about just a little bit ago. But this video was saying that some of the clergy was actually going to be participating to get people to go along with some of the laws and stuff that they're going to try to put in place.
Over 50,000 clergy in America.
Yeah, so I just thought that was a strange deal that y'all had mentioned that Romans 13, and then I had seen that video earlier too. So, but anyway,
Doc, I wish you good. Doc, I'm not interrupting you, buddy. Columbus, Georgia, amen. I'm a Georgia boy. You hear me? But I wish you'd go there, Doc, instead of Caesar, because look, Caesar's dead and in hell. Okay, we're under Caesar. Was a Caesar when the God is God? Look here, buddy. Jesus sent the boy down there to get it out of the river, not out of his pocket. But listen, I would love to go to Romans 13. That is one of that and abortion is one of my main things.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, then let's roll into that. Then let's just consider this the intro into Romans 13, because people really need to understand what that actually means. And not only that, but to turn the other cheek, too, because I think before we get to Romans 13, I hear all the time from folks about turn the other cheek, and they don't take into consideration the time that was written. And that whole turn the other cheek thing was not because God wanted you to take a second slap. It was because that it was against the law to slap your slave twice like that in a row.
That's right.
That was treating him like a man, and you couldn't slap him with the other hand because that was the hand you cleaned yourself with.
That's right.
So when you take it in context of the time, God was saying, do not let them treat you like a slave. Make them treat you like a man. And so when you take things in context of the time, you can see how the government can twist things around. And they do that same thing with Romans 13. And so I think just from there, you should just take it away, Billy.
Well, let me go back to this for a minute, though. Hey, when it talked about, Jesus talked about hell. He talked about hell a bunch. He talked about hell more than heaven, okay, when he spoke to the people. Listen. Let me tell you something, brother. He didn't never talk about praising and worshiping and music unto God. You know why? He didn't have to tell them. They already knew it. Okay? They already knew. By the way, David danced for the Lord and took his daggum shirt off and everything, and Michael, his daggum wife, was up there on the terrace saying, you fool, you idiot, why are you dancing? You know, she called him an idiot because she was a, a hellion, you know, a Jezebel, and David danced for the Lord. David knew about dancing. The people, the Israelites, the people, they knew dance. That's why Jesus never spoke about it much. But that don't mean he didn't dance. Let me get into Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Okay? Now, let's go into that a minute. No power but of God. Okay, so God ordained the power of the limited form of government or rulers because, guess what? They had bandits. They had people stealing. You know, by the way, they released Barabbas instead of Jesus. You remember that? Okay, let's get into it. There is no power except of God. Well, the Bible says that God is not what? He's not evil. God is good. Who is evil? Satan is evil. Satan is the one that kills, steals, and destroys. Let's get into it a little more. Watch this. Whosoever resisteth that power resisteth the ordinance of God. There are no powers except of God. Now watch this. The powers instituted and ordained to rule over men are good powers. They're not bad powers. We have a system of government in America, by and large, okay, and I get a little loud, by and large, that is evil. I'll go back to my pet peeve. You cannot murder the innocent and get away with it, okay? But look, let's go back to Tiller the Baby Killer, okay? He was going into a church, remember? He was an usher, and the old boy popped him, okay? He popped him and took him out. Now the old boy's going to be going to jail for what? He's going to be convicted of murder. But think about this. How many babies that can't stand up, defend themselves, and ain't grown men like you and I are, Doc, that used to, you know, I used to take a pool ball, put it in a sock, and knock somebody out if they didn't like me back when I was in my day, you know. But the baby can't do that, okay? So there's no powers ordained except of God. Let's go on. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works but to evil. Okay, so rulers are supposed to be a terror, terrorize people that are evil. What do? No, they ordain evil. They ordain evil left and right. They steal every freaking dime that people have in their pockets by taxing them. You pay taxes on your food. You pay taxes on your gas. And then your flipping roads have got holes all in them. You pay income tax to a Federal Reserve that's, by the way, private, not belonging to the government. And I could go on and on. Let's go to the next part of that word. Check this out. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Well, wait a minute. I'm afraid of God. I told you at the beginning of the segment, I fear no man, I fear God. Okay? The powers are ordained by God. You should fear God and his commandments and his what he said. Not some evil piece of crap, Barney Faggot Frank or whatever. And I don't have anything against homosexuals. I'm just saying, you should not fear them, okay? If you look at their record, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd created Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac that helped bring the home crisis, okay? They're the evil ones. You and I ain't, Doc. You go on and on, and you think about it, and I know I'm rolling. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good, okay? Well, if the powers that are ordained in office in Washington, D.C. are good for you from God, then God is a liar. And I say this again, God is not a liar, but they make it out and twist it to be a lie that you should obey them. And I don't blame Barney Frank for being what he is. I don't blame Chris Dodd, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, or George Bush, or none of the rest of them. What I blame is the church for not standing up for what's right and say righteousness exalts a nation, sin and reproach to any people. What I blame is the church because the ministers, way back when, you know what they used to do? They used to preach the word of God and not worry about how many congregation people they had, not worry about what was put in a bucket. What they did was said, God said, get right with God before you burn in hell. Go ahead. I'm just got to verse 4. Go ahead.
Amen.
Don't make
Amen.
Me start it, brother. I'm telling Amen. You, this is the thing, Doc, that's going to wake the American people up because they won't be afraid to stand up and say, you know what, I've had enough of you. You know what, you are supposed to represent me. You are supposed to go up there to Washington, D.C. and represent me. I pay your flipping salary, but I'm fitting to cut it off. Now let's go back over to Caesar for a minute, okay? Watch this. If your tax money is helping kill babies, then guess what? God's going to hold you accountable. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how many times you get on your knees, how many Hail Marys you say, or crossing your chest, whatever. You are going to be accountable with your money. That goes back to the talents that the old boy was talking about a while ago. If you put your money... If you put your money to something that's going to promote evil, and Doc, you and I know it. We had a rough life. Look, if I promote the cocaine sales that's going to kill teenagers, then guess what? Guess what? I don't care how saved I am and how broke I am. If I go to making cocaine, the drug that's going to kill people, you know, then God's going to hold me accountable. I don't care how saved I think I am or how much I preach, I'm still going to be accountable. Go ahead.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm just using examples, Doc.
Yeah, there's no doubt that God will judge people for what they do based on what they have done. I mean, he says that clearly over and over and over. That's part of why I often say that there is no amount of good things I can do that will ever clear up on my own what I've done in God's eyes. The only salvation there is, period, is the blood of Jesus. Because, you know, it's a neat little trick. I don't know if people used to remember, there used to be this little game where you used to slide these little answer cards down in through the little red reader, right? And it was only the black letters that would show up when you did that, because when sin is black, but when seen through the blood of Christ, you see him clean and white again. And it was the same example in that game. The little red screen used to bring out the black letters so that you could read what the answers were. And to me, that's a really good metaphor to describe the gift that Jesus gave to us for free, for free. All you got to do is say, thank you, and yes, I'm a sinner, and ask Jesus to come in, and you're saved. That's what you got to do, and then you got to change your life and start walking the walk. That's
hey, Doc. Absolutely, and let me tell you something, brother. I'm going to tell you one thing. Hey, you know, last night my daughter, and I'm going to be brief on this, she wanted to do a play about Jesus, you know, the manger. You know what she wound up doing? She's 5 years old, Doc. And, you know, I do devotion every night of my life. I'm not bragging, but what I'm saying is this. From the time she was old enough to hear the Word of God, okay, out of her, and matter of fact, while she was in her mama's tummy, okay, and her name is Emily. She is a precious child, an angel of God that God loaned me that I better take care of. She did from the beginning of Jesus' birth all the way up to Pentecost, brother. Never opened the Bible, 5 years old. I'll put her up against any preacher in the USA right now. But having said that, let me not get off my focus. Now watch this. Do you remember years ago? I'm 42, finna be 43, okay? Do you remember when back then when the sheriff and the police, they used to come to your house around to you, and they loved you to death, or the parents or whatever. They were sent there. They were not a terror to you, Doc. They were not a terror to my grandpa. What they did, they got along and shoot. Sometimes they even shot a game pool together. But nowadays, guess what? They're militarized, and they're so distant from you. I mean, gosh, man, most folks, when they riding down the road, most folks, and I don't know how many's listening to that, but you email the Doc, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Most folks, when they get a cop behind them, even though they've done nothing wrong, they're living for Jesus, they get nervous because, you know what, they don't know if they're going to pull them over for nothing, you know. And that ain't the way it should be, because it shouldn't terrorize good people. It should terrorize evil people. But having said that, okay, I know of a documentary being done right now where the guy gets paid millions of bucks to take people for 60 or 70 bucks to go into the gangs of L.A. and show them around. Now, he's free to go in there and do what he wants to do and film it, okay? But guess what? The police can't go in there and do nothing with the gangs. Give me a freaking break, man. Everything's turned upside down, Doc. And I'll tell you something else, too. Watch this. Watch this now. You ready? You ready? I'm finna blow some people's mind. You talking about Caesar? Wherefore you must need not only be subject, not for wrath, but also for conscience sake, okay? Watch this. This cause you are to pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers. Well, buddy, it wasn't talking about Barney Frank. It wasn't talking about a politician. It wasn't talking about Obama or Bush. Let me tell you what. The ministers of God do what you're doing and what I'm doing. And we're not asking you to send donations. What I'm saying is this. We took care of each other. You know, communism is a bad word, but communism was a good word. You know why? Because everybody had everything in common. That's why they were up there on the day of Pentecost, brother. Nobody did without nothing. Go read your Word of God. Well, everybody took care of each other, and everybody, you know, everybody was good and equal. But not nowadays. Guess what? Barney Frank is living high on the hog, okay? And I'm not picking on Barney. Let's go to Chris Dodd. Let's even go to Scott Brown, okay? Because I'm not Republican or Democrat, because guess what? There's two wings, but it's the same eagle. I'm an independent, like I told you. I'm a sovereign citizen that belongs to God. So you should pay tribute. That don't mean stick your money to something that's going to kill babies. It don't mean stick your money to something they're going to blow on a tunnel in freaking Chicago and spend trillions of dollars on. It don't mean, by the way, let me just put this out there and people forgot about it. September the 10th, 2001, Donald Rumsfeld came out, and I know everybody's got a short memory, but I don't. I don't forget nothing. I'm like a horse. You beat me one time, I'll never forget it. September the 10th, 2001, he come out, and there was a $2 trillion thing missing, but September 11th, everybody forgot about it. Remember that? Well, guess what? Guess what? Nobody's been accountable for that money. Your federal government that you pay taxes to, people in America, you better listen to me. It's never been accounted for, but I know you don't care because you get to watch the Super Bowl. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And on the subject of killing babies, I that's really what it is. And I want to illustrate some points there. We got about 10 minutes left, so I want to try to get to one caller real quick. These elitists are investing in life extension therapy that is predicated upon using the aborted baby's tissue to extend their own lives. Mm-hmm. And the most innocent of all lives there are the children, our babies. And
hey,
I just think
brother,
that's the ultimate evil there is, to kill Come babies
on.
To extend your own life. It's just
Come on, Doc.
Barbarian. It's barbarian.
Hey, let me tell you something, brother. Let me run this by you. And I'm not eloquent. I'm a South Georgia country boy that God just happened to raise up, brother. And guess what? He brought me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ's day. Listen to me. Every person that's for abortion and stem cell research, every person that's for abortion, guess what? They did not get aborted. Hot diggity dog. Hey, they're for it, but guess what? They didn't want their butt aborted, they wouldn't be here today. Number two, I'm a simple man, but I want to tell you, the Bible says that the words of God, the simple words of God, confound the wise of this world. I'm going to tell you, they're using stem cells, they're using everything they can do to keep themselves alive. You know why they're doing it, though, Doc? They're doing it because they know their end. In their heart of hearts, if you could snatch all their money away, take all their millions, all their condos, all their plastic surgery, and you could set them down in a closet. I've got a walk-in closet right here with guns and stuff in it and everything. If I could set them people down and I could say, look, all this stuff is took from you. Everything you think you've got is took from you. You have nothing left but to make a decision. Are you going to die? And they'd say, yeah. And I'd say, what are you going to do after you die? And they'd say, you know what they'd say? I don't know. There's so many philosophies out there, and here's what I'd tell them. Here's the thing. There is a creator. Listen, I don't wear a watch. I've got a watch in my gun bag, but I don't wear it because it bothers me. I'm left-handed. But there was a creator for that watch, Doc. That watch did not come out of the sky and everything beat together and everything. There was a master that created that watch. Somebody that knows how to make watches created it. And I'm going to tell you, God created children, and he puts them in the womb. The sperm and the egg come together. Then there's a conception. That's God's design. You know, I had a guy yesterday, he's in a gun store, in a pawn shop. He was holding his dog. He's talking about Darwin and everything, Darwin theory and all that big bang. I said, well, how come that friggin' dog you got still walking on four legs? Doc, listen, brother, I'm going to tell you, God will give you what you need to say in the self-same hour, because the argument is not, hey, they cannot argue, but what they do, Doc, is they take and they destroy human life to keep themselves living. Why don't they wait and evolve? Why don't they not worry about the wrinkles? Because if they're so powerful and so elitist, there's going to come a day, then the wrinkles are going to fall away. They're going to be young again. You see what I'm saying, brother? I'm not trying to be arrogant or smart, but what I am saying is this. There's no sense in the average human being not understanding that, guess what? You're born, you come through a man and a woman, you grow up, you make mistakes as teenagers, whatever. Or as grown men like you and I have done. But there comes a time in your life when you got to realize, guess what? This is good for me, and that's bad for me. And I'm telling you, taking parts of babies to extend the life of somebody else ain't right. It ain't right, and guess what? There's going to be a payday. There's going to be a payday, and all this stuff's going to come to pass. And it's kind of like the chemtrails. What they're doing, they got seeds in Norway and everything. They got their bunkers and all that. But you know what? Hell, they got to breathe the same air we do. Okay? They may have, you know, it's kind of like Obama's kids didn't take the shot. Well, hell, I wouldn't take it neither. Excuse my language. And the hell's in the Bible 200-something times. But what I'm saying is this. They expect us to take it, but they won't take it. Give me a break. People need to, the average man needs to wake up and realize that, guess what? I ain't never took a shot, and I ain't going to take it. Do you know how many times I've been sick, Doc, in the last 5 years? Count it. 2 times. You know why? Because I didn't wash my hands after I stuck my hands in a grocery store and all I got was a little cough and I took my SOS silver and all that and my vitamins and 2 days later I'm good to go. You know, God designed the body to heal itself in 7 days, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Doc, I don't mean to get on this stuff. See, I'm taking your program over and I'm sorry.
No, no, you're not. That's hey. When I asked you on, I said a prayer before the show. And I said, God, let's just take this show where you want it to go. We'll talk about whatever you put in, you know, whatever you put in my head. That's where the questions are going to go. And this show has been, not only has it been number one all night, and I got to thank the audience for coming in, but it has been a fantastic and an awesome show. And I've had a ton of fun, man. I've had a ton of fun with this show. I'm telling you right now. And you know what? We're down to what? We got 4 minutes to go. I wanted to take another caller, but we're not going to have time, folks. So why don't you,
hey, Doc,
I asked
can
you
I?
If you can, certainly go ahead.
Go ahead.
I had to ask you if you wanted to come on and have a show of your own. And you know, we talked a little bit about that. And so I think you know, you gave me an answer on that. So why don't you let folks know? And I know a time is to be determined or whatever, but we really want to have you on over here, man.
Doc, I would count it an honor. I would count it an honor to have my own show. But let me say this. I feel the most important thing I need to do right now, and you've got my number, I got yours. I know we're out of time, but I do want to say a quick prayer. Do you mind?
Oh, no, I don't mind. Go right ahead, man.
Let me do it, brother. And God bless you and your family, and I pray God's blessings upon you. Father, we love you. God, we know that we're nothing without you. But God, we know that we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. God, we love you. We praise you. I ask that anybody listening out there that don't even believe in you, that God, that you would spur their heart tonight because, God,
amen,
you love them much as you love me and Doc. And, Lord God, that you died for them much as you did for us. And, Lord, I ask you right now that your Holy Spirit would come in the hearts and minds of the people and wrestle with them all night, just as Jacob wrestled with the angel.
Amen.
God, that your Holy Spirit would wrestle with people and that, God, that they would know that most of all you love them. And Doc and I love them, and that you love them so much. In John 3:16, for you God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him and not perish, but have an everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but through him the world will be saved. God, you love your people. Red, yellow, black, and white. God, they're precious in your sight. God, touch them. Save them tonight. God, we just ask for salvation to break out. We ask you to bless Doc and all he's doing, God. God, we ask you to bless his family and bless everybody that's called in, everybody listening. And God, we just ask you to help us to rise above the evil and be the men and women you called us to be in this, your time. In Jesus' name, bless us. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Doc.
God bless you too, man. Hey, and we can't wait to have you back. I hope you have a wonderful night, and I'll be giving you a ring over the next, probably tomorrow night, and we'll hook up all the details, man. I just want to thank you for coming in. It's been a real blast.
Boy, it's been something else, ain't it, brother? Hey, God bless you, Doc. I'll talk with you soon, buddy. Hey, give me a buzz now.
No, I'm calling you tomorrow, man. Don't you trip. You're going to hear from me tomorrow. So,
hey,
man.
And God bless everybody out there. God's still in control. God bless you. I'll see you, buddy.
All right, man. All right, everybody. That was Billy. Of course, you guys all knew him anyway, right? So, yeah, we're going to have – he gets his pick, right? We got 2 2-hour slots, one Tuesday, one Sunday. And he's gonna I'll let him make up his own mind whether he wants to do a Sunday night show or whether he wants to do a Tuesday night show. But we'll be announcing that here shortly, the exact days, times. He might even take both days. You never know. But that was a wonderful, excellent show. I got to pay the bills right now, and I want you guys to know we got another guest coming in, Gwen Caldwell. She's a regular, and we're going to be discussing all kinds of issues. She wanted to talk a little bit about preparedness and a project that she had been working on, and it was pretty cool. I had a chance to check it out, so please hang around for the last hour of the show, and with that, I'm going to pay the bills right now.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio?
Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
Now, back at Freedomizer Radio with Hardtail News and NSM Doc. Of course, this is the Proof Negative Show. I'm the regular fill-in host for Friday nights, and man, that was a power-packed, spirit-filled message and previous show that we just had. Wow, huh? Yeah, I had a whole lot of fun doing that. And a lot of you know my next guest who's coming in, and, you know, she's... You know, I consider her a hero of the movement as well. She's been battling against one of the great evils in the world right now, CPS, and their evil child-stealing, money-making agenda. And she's been involved with getting women together. You might know her as Generation Keeper, which I thought is a great name because, after all, the mothers kind of are the keepers of the generation. And she's got some ideas on preparation and stuff. You know, she's got her fingers into a little bit of everything, and I just love talking with her. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Gwen on with us. If this will click over. Hey, Gwen, you should be live right now. Go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Hi. Thanks, Doc, for having me. Geez, I'm just so humbled to be following Billy. God, what an act to follow.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Don't ever do that to me again, Jay.
I'm sorry. Who can follow Billy? I couldn't even follow Billy. I don't think.
No. You know, you got to do this like they do at concerts, you know. He's the headliner. He comes on last, you know.
Yeah, Jay. It was time issues.
I know.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of babies to put to bed, and well, you know how that goes. I would have done it the other way around if I could have.
Go ahead, Doc.
No, you go ahead. I was about to ask you what you were up to, and it looked like you were about to get into it, so it seemed like my soul was a little out of place there.
Oh, I just wanted to say, you know, some of the things that Billy, the points that he brought up about preparation and, you know, working in his own community one-on-one. And, you know, one thing that I found in dealing with the government here in South Dakota, they are the problem. And no matter how much you try and redress grievance or petition them, it's very difficult for them to stop being the solution. They create the problems because they want to be the solution, because they have the financial benefit of it. And so what I started doing was I started at some point trying to look at what we could do for solutions on our own. And of course, a lot of the women I was working with were single moms, many of them working, but working poor, still needing, you know, different types of assistance or whatever to make ends meet. So I met with some of the, you know, and I want people to really understand about me. I come from a more indigenous perspective. I live on the reservation, and you know, I walk in two worlds a lot of the time, and so it, you know, I'm kind of coming from a different perspective on some things, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's what it is in my world.
Let me state something real quick, and then ask you a quick question. I know where we're going, so I can kind of, I've been thinking about this since yesterday, since we talked too. Right now, people have been conditioned and actually bred, especially with the invention of the television, to pull away and draw away from the people around them. And the things that are coming down are going to require folks, like-minded folks, that want to work together to survive. Because, you know, folks are going to have to grow food. They're going to have to fix their own vehicles. They're going to have to build their own structures. They're going to have to, you know, there's going to have to be cooperation and stuff. And one of the cultures that really had that style, I guess you'd say government, but really it's a lot more than that. It's like the giant family is the American Indian culture, and even, you know, even back in history, it's how they lived. So I see that, I see folks now in this time of calamity where cultures that aren't like that are going to have to hurry up and get like that, because it's going to really take that to survive. And I guess it was more of a statement, but I kind of wanted your thoughts on that, because it does play right into what we're talking about.
Yeah, you know, when I left the stateside community that I lived in and moved to the reservation, you know, my friends, they're not poor people. They're business owners, they're politicians, you know, and they were just horrified that I would sell everything I own and move to the reservation. And I told them, I said, you know what, it's going to hit the fan, and when it does, you're going to be looking for me on the reservation, because I already know how to be poor, I know how to live off the land, and you're going to need what I got. Because you think that I'm crazy and that your money's going to buy you out of this. And I'm telling you, money is not going to be the solution to the problems we're facing. I don't care how much money you have. If there is nothing to buy with your money, it does you no good whatsoever. And
you can heat your house with some of it maybe later.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing of it was is that I was just really committed to downsizing, not paying for space I wasn't living in, not having things that, I mean, I had an enormous amount of beautiful, expensive artwork, and I enjoyed it. But you know what? I can't eat it. It won't feed my family. It doesn't keep my house warm. It doesn't protect me. And I really had to really make some tough decisions about whether I was going to live in a material world and surround myself with that kind of beauty, or if I was going to go to the next level. And to me, you know, a lot of people think that somehow my life has been diminished. My life has grown in such awesome and incredible ways by not being chained in the slavery of materialism. It's just such an incredible thing. And anyway, with that said, does that answer your question,
Doc? Yeah, it does. And a lot of people don't understand that when you're talking about slavery, right, you're talking about the debt that they're enslaved to, and the whole idea that the way to keep going, of course, is to get more and more and more debt, rather than to get less and less and less debt and to become more and more and more self-sufficient. So, yeah, I fully get what you're saying, and you know, my family here, we've cut out, I mean, all the extras when it came to getting our place ready for our tribe, as I want to call it, because it is, it's all our family, and it's our close-knit friends, and we've got, you know, our area set up, and we know what we got to do, and we're depending on each other for each of our different skills to be able to do the jobs that are going to come up, because you're not going to be able to fix if you don't know how to fix all your small engines, you're not going to be able to do it. If you don't know how to work on electrical with your generator to make your generator something that's going to be able to power your house, if you've got fuel stored, you're not going to be able to make it. If you don't have somebody that knows how to grow food and things like that, you know, because that's a lot of stuff for one person to learn. But it's not that big. It's not that big a job when you have other people you can trust that can do those smaller jobs. And I guess that's the way I think that it should be. A few of your thoughts on that.
One of the things that I most notice about the way I live now as opposed to that way, I don't have the stress in my life anymore. And I can be present in the day, and it makes my life so much more flexible. And And it's really empowering because I'm at the wheel now. I get to make those decisions. I don't have the demands of a job telling me where to go, where to be, what time to be there. You know, if my family needs me, I can be there. If I feel like taking the day and taking a walk, whatever, I can do what I want. And my quality of life, my spiritual life is way more centered now. My ability to contribute to my community and do the work that I want to do, I'm more available to do that because I'm not having to worry about, you know, how I'm going to pay for this and how I'm going to cover that. And, you know, and it really improves your overall well-being because stress, you know, stress and fear, they're mind killers, you know, and they paralyze you in so many ways. And I see someone's asking me how am I living. I'm living good.
The answer to those questions a lot of time, you know, is people don't understand, right, that if you're growing your own food and you're making things and you're selling them, that you and things like that, or setting up smaller communities like that. I mean, it isn't that we don't work. It's that more you're in business for yourself. You're growing your own food. You're taking on the smaller projects that you can do. I know that, like Billy, I used to build houses, and that was what we would do. We were subcontractors. I'd go and contract out a job. I'd do my, you know, I'd do what had to be done, and it was piecework. So I would get paid a certain amount for a certain job, but because I had things I needed set aside, I didn't have to buy things, and so, you know, I was able to come up with savings. And that's how this nation used to run, was that people used to save and buy the things they needed. But more even further than that is the things that they could do for themselves that they did for themselves, because then you didn't have to buy it. It's the whole illusion of that you have to live in this system because otherwise you can't survive, or you have to buy this and that. It is exactly the reason why we're in the trouble we're in. It's because the bankers were allowed to create this illusion that we're all too helpless to take care of ourselves, and then therein lies the fear factor of any crisis. Like let's say the stock market, for instance, it was down 522 points about 45 minutes before closing, 271 points today, but almost 600 points over the last 5 days. And that was what I was told was the beginning of the end, was when the market started radically fluctuating like that, that there would be all kinds of panicky things start to happen. And so when I see these things beginning, I just think, you know, I thank God because he's my strength, and that's how I get past the stress, because I know how it ends. But when I see these things happening, it points more and more towards the need to become self-sufficient. And of course, that's what you've been doing for many, many years. And so, you know, folks should pay attention when we talk about things like that. Am I correct?
Yes. To answer your question about how I make a living, I had a Main Street bakery and restaurant. Very successful business in a kind of a tourist town in the mountains, and it was quite beautiful there. And so the overhead, you know, everything started going up, and when I started crunching numbers, it just stressed me out to the point that I just said, you know what, I'm done with this. And so I started baking at home. And I go around to the different businesses, to the universities, and I take samples with a flyer with my phone number on it. And that's how I make my living. I bake from home.
Yeah.
And then I sell my stuff. And
you could be in danger from that. You know that, right? They arrested the biscuit lady. I don't know if you heard that interview, but they arrested that gal that was selling food door to door, kind of doing the same thing you were. Actually arrested her for, I don't know, I guess it was under the same statutes of trafficking drugs as they arrested the folks on. We actually had that person on as a guest, although I wasn't in that show. I listened to it, so that's could be a dangerous.
I live on the reservation. I live on the reservation. We don't have those. We have tribal law here. Now, if I did what I do stateside, and they wanted to, you know, cause a problem for me, you know, they could, I mean, you would have to go through all of the red tape. You'd have to have 3 stainless steel sinks that your biggest utensil will fit in, and, you know, you have to have the health inspector come in, and you have to, you know, apply for all these, you know, things, you know, state revenue and all of that. But I live on the reservation, so I don't have to do that. And I'm pretty particular about the cleanliness of my home anyway, but particularly my kitchen, you know. And so, I mean, not because the law says so, but because I know that the first time someone finds a hair or something in their food, that's going to go through the Moccasin Telegraph faster than, you know, CNN. And, you know, and my business is going to be ruined, so, you know. But anyway, so that's what I do, and I do a lot of bartering, and I network with people all over the place. And I do, you know, I do some leather work and some bead work and, you know, some sewing and different things, you know. And I also make willow baskets, and, you know, I can trade those or sell them. So, you know, I do other things besides bake, but primarily my income is baking. However, this winter, what I did is I decided that I could afford $200 a month. And for one whole year, I spent at least $200 a month on prep items and food. And that was medical supplies right down to blood pressure cuffs, stethoscopes, dental tools. I bought tampons for bullet wounds. I bought Band-Aids. I bought ACE bandages. I bought splints. And, you know, so I did a lot of prepping and really think I bought gas masks. I bought dehydrated food. I made sure I had a good axe, a good bow saw. I made sure that I had, I'm an herbalist, so I went out, I harvested the medicinal herbs when they came ready so that I would have medicinals. And so I prepared. So now I'm in the dead of winter. And, you know, business slows down between New Year's and whenever people start getting their tax returns. So the food that I bought, now I'm starting the rotation process, and I'm using those foods now. And so it's really cut my grocery bill. And I'm very conservative with, currently right now I am running on full, you know, full electricity, propane, that kind of thing, public water system. But I am very conservative with all of those things, not only because of the cost of it, but because of the environmental impact of using it. I'm really conscious about that. So that's what I did. You know, that's what I do to survive. The other thing that I want to talk about, a huge way that I save money, and, you know, we had talked a little bit about this, Doc, is I buy a lot of foods that can be not only used to cook with and to season foods with, but that I can use medicinally. Or I buy products that can be used for more than one thing. And when I can find those in bulk, or if I can get to a Sam's Club or someplace where they sell those bigger things, then I buy those in bigger quantities. Some of those being apple cider vinegar, cinnamon, cayenne pepper, honey, lemon juice. And of course, I always...
Let's go into a little bit about some of the medicinal uses. I mean, I'm sure people know about lemon juice and honey for things like sore throats and colds and things like that. But, I mean, after just having a big swine flu scare, and that's what I want to call it, a swine flu scare, because that's what it was, I guess the best defense that you could have is natural remedies, immune system boosting remedies, and I think it would be a great idea for you to go into a little bit about some of the different foods and herbs and things that would help boost people's immune systems, especially in times of them having big posters in all of the grocery stores and everything. I mean, huge. They're massive. They're huge posters. Get your free H1N1 when supposedly they were talking about Stampede. So I think that would be an awesome subject to go into.
One of the things that I'd like to say about this health care bill that we have before Congress right now that I find so damn frightening is the fact that there is no mention of preventative care. There's no mention of, even when there are discussions within the communities. We just had a big article in the newspaper. The director of Indian Healthcare Services came out and said that, all good Indians go down and get their H1N1 shot because they're more susceptible to swine flu because they have pre-existing conditions like diabetes or heart conditions or whatever. So my response, and I just pound that online comment thing, and what I said is, why is she not promoting eating healthier foods and having a better diet so that your immune system is stronger instead of advocating something that has a potential for causing greater harm than the disease itself, there were a lot of responses to that comment. My proposal, if I were President Obama, the first thing I would do is I would ban the use of fluoride in every public a drinking supply in this country. That would be the first act of my presidency. The second act would be the doctors would not be paid to see sick patients. Doctors would only be paid for preventative health care. That would cut the insurance companies and the pharmaceutical companies right out of their corporate control of this Congress.
Right now it's send you to the doctor if you don't feel good, go to the doctor and we're going to give you a pill. And of course that just pours money into the pharmaceutical industry, and then that allows the pharmaceutical industry to lobby doctors to give out more pills rather than do things that will keep people from getting sick. Yeah, I agree with
right.
you completely there. I follow you.
So, whenever this whole stink about the swine flu and the health care bill started coming up, I knew right away something was coming down the pike. So what I did is I got colloidal silver, and I got a ton. I bought bottles and bottles of hydrogen peroxide, and I want to tell you people, if you do not have no less than 4 bottles of hydrogen peroxide, I mean it's like 50 cents a bottle, just regular old brown bottle hydrogen peroxide, go get it, because it that will stop the swine flu before it can ever get into your system. And what we started doing is we started gargling in that morning and night. And also take a little bit on your fingers and sniff it up your nose, or get a nasal sprayer and spray it in your nose. And it will kill those germs before they can get into your system to cause the flu, any kind of flu. And it's 50 cents a bottle, and it's totally benign, you know.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
It's cheaper than heck. Another thing an Army medic told me, you know, when I was prepping, he said, do you have plenty of vinegar? And I said, well, I've got a gallon of vinegar. You know, I run it through my coffee maker, or, you know, my teapot sometimes gets that crappy stuff on the bottom of it, and I soak it in vinegar. But he said, no, you need to get gallons of it. And I don't know. I've never been in the Army, but he said that they use that to neutralize chemicals that you might be exposed to before it can get into your thyroid or whatever that causes the cancer. And so I made sure that when I went to the grocery store that I got, you know, extra bottles of white vinegar, plain white distilled vinegar. I also have a lot of apple cider vinegar. You can use that. Apple cider vinegar is really good for if you have acne problems, if you have a sore throat, if you have too much acid, if you're eating too many acidic foods, it puts your system out of balance and it exposes you to greater potential for different kinds of illnesses. If you know, if you're vomiting, it will stop vomiting. And you just take half water, half apple cider vinegar. And it's best if you don't sweeten it, but if you need to sweeten it, do not use sugar or some aspartame product. Use honey or real maple syrup to sweeten it enough so that you can get it down. It smells nastier than heck, but it doesn't really taste that bad. But I drink hot lemonade with a little bit of honey and cayenne pepper, just a sprinkle of cayenne pepper in it. Almost every night I drink it. And I sweeten it with honey, but if I'm not feeling well or if I've got an upset stomach, or even if you have food poisoning, if you ate food that wasn't good, apple cider vinegar is awesome for that. And I drink it, you know.
I know a little something about vinegar, too, and about chemical agents. I know a lot of chemical agents are an alkali, and a lot of folks know about acetic acid. But alkalis are every bit as dangerous as acids are. They're the opposite end of the pH scale. And so by using the vinegar, it changes the pH of the agent to something that is not deadly to you anymore. And so, yeah, when he was talking about having plenty of vinegar, that's what he was speaking of. And so that's definitely an excellent prep item to have on hand. I was completely unaware about the hydrogen peroxide thing, although I know a lot of people that gargle with hydrogen peroxide, just like you said. I never thought to ask them why, and so that was a pretty amazing segment. And I need to let you know that I have to take at least a quick break and play the Bob Chapman ad, so I'm going to do that. And then we have two callers that are in queue. Would you like to take a couple calls when we come back in?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to take us out here real quick with the Bob Chapman ad, and then I'll bring us back in, and I'll bring the two callers in. So we'll be right back here at Hardtail News in just a minute.
Okay.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts? and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else. Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at the 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. The 3Ws.theinternationalforecaster.com.
The Proof Negative Show. We are freedomizers, freedomizing freedoms to the freedomist for freedoming freedoms to people who simply just want their freedom back. The Proof Negative Show. Weekdays, 9 to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 Pacific, right here on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, and we're back here at Hardtail News with NSM Doc. I would also like to remind you that our host, Eric Lovely, he came on just before me tonight. He is in the same time slot that I am on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights. That would be 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Eric Lovely in the Lion's Den, and he gave a fantastic interview tonight. I really enjoyed it. And we're back in with Gwen Caldwell from Generation Keepers, and she's on with us several times. To our regulars, you know who she is, and to those of you who are here for the first time, I want to thank you for joining us. And I need to take just a moment. If you're a guest in the room, it takes just a minute to register here at BTR. And by registering here at BTR, that helps us. You can favorite the show, and that helps keep us on the front page here and supports us in what we're doing. So, and you get a lot of other perks with that. You can chat in the chat room, and you can use the guest call-in number and those kinds of things. So, with that being said, I'm going to come back in. And hello, Gwen. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Doc, before we take these calls, could I just say something real quick? You know, I have old people's disease. I'll probably forget.
You can say a couple somethings first. This is your hour, so you just let me know when you're ready to take calls, and we'll do it that way.
You know, one of the things that I want that I forgot to mention was olive oil, and Listerine. You know, especially for people who are thinking they're going to bug out, or if you're going to be hiking back in to get, you know, to get away, and you get blisters. Listerine. If you put Listerine on a blister, it really helps. Dry it up fast so it's not getting infected. And so Listerine, and I just, you know, I get those, you know, at the different stores. I don't go to China Mart either, but sometimes at the different drug stores, you know, they have those little, like travel size things, and you can get those little bottles of Listerine. And they're just perfect for a bug out bag, or, you know, throw one in your medical kit or in your glove box or whatever. You know, it's nice to have on hand. And then the olive oil, and I mostly cook with all olive oil. And you know, Leonard Crow Dog, he's a fourth generation medicine man here, and he's my son's relative, but his sister Christine, she crossed over now. But one time I was talking to her about these different foods that we can use for healing, and she said to me, when I mentioned olive oil, she said, "Olive oil is wakan," she said, and in Lakota that means like it's sacred, you know, and it can really has good properties in it for overall health. So if people can be cooking with it, or if, you know, if you're, you know, not like I mix it, I've mixed olive oil with clove powder for toothaches. Cloves is a gotta have. Clove powder, you gotta have that. And and cinnamon for people who have diabetes. You know, in the event that we don't have access to medical care, cinnamon with a small amount of honey is very good for helping you level out your blood sugar. Cayenne is really good for, if you do the cayenne with the honey and the lemon juice, it's really great for to cleanse toxins from your body. And another thing that I bought were was selenium and magnesium, because if there's some kind of chemical attack or you're suffering from something that has left you with heavy metal toxins, selenium and magnesium are really great for flushing that from your system. And with all these chemtrails that they're spraying, I've seen some reports that were done, and they said that there's cadmium, lead, and aluminum and in the chemtrails. And so I got selenium and magnesium also. So I just wanted to say that while I was thinking about those things. So now I'll take a call.
All right. So let's move on to the callers then. We got 605 area code. And hey, 605, you're on the air with Gwen and Doc on Hardtail News on the Proof Negative Show. State where you're from and what's your question? Hold on a second here. It looks like my switchboard is locking up on me here, so. Oh, man. Okay, well, Gwen, we might not be taking calls for a second. I don't know exactly what happened here, but I just got booted out of the whole, all right, now I'm back in. That's crazy. Okay, 605, you're live with Doc on Hardtail News. Go ahead. 605, going once? Oh, that's you, Gwen. I apologize. It shut down my whole board right there for a second, and actually says that I'm signed out, but somehow the switchboard came back up. So here we go. 989, you're on Hardtail News with NSM Doc and Gwen. Go ahead and state where you're from and your question.
Hi, my name is Angie, and I'm in Michigan.
Hi,
Angie.
Gwen.
Hi, Doc.
Tonight?
I'm doing very good. I've been listening, and I have to say I'm really excited to hear somebody talking about such smart thinking, and it's really exciting to hear that because you don't hear too much of it anymore. You sometimes get those people pounding pulpits and yelling, you know, survive this, survive that, you know, believe this, believe that, but nobody really lives it. And when I hear your story, it's so inspiring to me. And I'm really glad to hear you.
Well, thank you very much. I have to let you know, right, that Billy was kind of, I was kind of still searching around for what I should be doing when I found Billy. And so, yeah, really, his message is the same as mine, although I'm not quite the orator that Billy is. He kind of set me on the path, or at least gave me the idea of the path that I needed to be going down. And I have to tell you that things have worked out for me in my life since I started going that way, and I started trusting God like the word says to. And you know, I have to tell folks that your worries will go away if you're doing the right thing, because God will bless you for that, and that's really how it's been for me. And so I want to thank you for calling in and saying that, because that kind of encouragement is really the thanks that we get.
It was one of the reasons that I was hoping I'd be able to call in earlier, but I was not, and I thought he was going to be on the last hour as well. But I'm not disappointed at all to hear Gwen. I'm also inspired by her story. I've never heard of her until tonight, and I'm really doubly excited it's a woman, because you don't see such fervor in women. Billy, you took the words out of my mouth. I used to browse YouTube. I used to see the videos, you know, warning this and trying to prepare people for that. And it's like, yeah, here's another one, you know. Billy caught me off guard. You know, he was hitting it from every angle. And I just, my mouth would drop every time I'd watch him, and I'd turn my speakers down, and I'm like, wow, man, this guy is on. You know, and I'd save them, and I'd download them, and I'd show my husband when he got home, and it's like, honey, you got to see this guy, you know, and we'd sit there, and we'd go over them, I'd share them with my dad when he came to visit, and next thing you know, he's gone, and it's like the loss and the hole that I felt when that inspiration was gone, it was very hard to deal with. And I know so many people have gotten to really love everything that he did on YouTube and then was gone. But he's still here because when we take his example and follow it and begin to live it, you know, I found my Christian walk with God again because of him, and I was so hoping I could tell him that in person. We've exchanged some private messages before on YouTube before he was gone, so I kind of felt that I got to say my piece to him. But it's like you said, when you get back on the right path and you start letting go of yourself and letting God handle things, you kind of find that your life gets back into the order it's supposed to be, and everything just isn't as overwhelming as it once was.
I
just find that it's so inspiring. And because of him, we are now, we do drills with our family with the power out for days at a time. We go out in the woods with the kids and teach them to start fires. And we're storing up and we're looking into solar and wind turbines and dehydration methods. And we're actually, it may sound a little crazy to some, not so crazy to some others, but we really feel that this may be our last tax season. You know, and I would encourage everybody, whether you believe it or not, don't let this opportunity go when you get a refund. And, oh, let's go on that vacation we've been wanting. Screw the vacation, people. I'm telling you. Take whatever you're getting back, if you're getting something back, and use it for preparation. Just if you don't think there's something in the air, then you're missing something. You know, there's something that is coming. It's imminent, you know.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. That's what the word says. And that's another thing that I love about Gwen, too, is that for that very thing that you said, is one of the first things that I thought was awesome that she did, that she said when I talked to her, was she said, yeah, my neighbors think I'm nuts because I told them to prepare, and that if they weren't prepared and they came over the fence to come get what was mine, I'd just shoot them.
Yeah.
And I was like,
crazy.
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah, I said, no, but that's really how it's going to be. You know, all these people that have looked and said, oh, yeah, I got time, or you're blowing it out of proportion, or they're waiting for, you know, some magical hand to whisk them away and out of all the trouble. You know, those are the folks really that are going to be caught most off guard by what's coming. And they're going to panic, and nothing worse than a panicky father with a bunch of hungry kids that knows that you have something.
And that's something else, too. A lot of people think, you know, it's the government we got to be worried about. You know what? Billy is absolutely right. The government is corrupt and black to the core at the very heart of it, and it's going to get worse. You know, and I agree that there's people out there who are going to fight to the death, and that's on them. That's how they want to do things. That's fine. I am not against that. But my main concern, and my husband's on the same page with me, is we're very rural out here. We're quite a ways away from the city. And Rodney knows that. our biggest concern is going to be the locals, the looters, the people who aren't going to be preparing. There's a couple of awesome videos that went out on YouTube recently. One of them I would highly recommend watching is a History Channel special that AR-15 Truther just put out. Most of you have probably seen it. I would watch it if you haven't. It's called After Armageddon. It's a post-pandemic type scenario of survival. Really, really good, and it shows so many different scenarios that this family comes across in a survival situation, and I would highly recommend seeing it. It's really, really good. Also, the Book of Eli shows like a post-nuclear type survival scenario, another good aspect to get prepared for. What's the other one? The Road. The Road, another one.
I was
going to
recommend
really
that.
One. Yes,
they actually canceled
good.
That movie so people wouldn't see it, and I guess it had done so well at screening that they ended up bringing it back about 6 months later and putting it in. But, yeah, I really think that it's going to be just like The Road.
Yeah, it's a serious deal, man. It's a serious deal. I would recommend people watch, not with kids, though. Some of this stuff is really graphic, especially Book of Eli, a couple F-bombs, you know, if you've got kids and stuff. But, The Road, I would definitely recommend.
All right. Well, I have 11 minutes to go, and I got three more callers to get
callers.
To.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I'm gonna have to.
Thank
I'm
you
gonna
for
have
having me. I appreciate
go.
It. Not
hey,
a problem.
No problem. So, I'll talk to you next time, huh?
Yep. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
All right. And here we go with 937. if it'll turn to a microphone, you'll be live here with us on with NSM Doc on Hardtail News. Go ahead, 937.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, I evidently let the young lady go. I was going to drop some notes. I was wanting to ask you. I apparently missed a pretty good broadcast. I just tuned in for the last 30 minutes. I'm catching up on news. I listen to Steve Quell with his broadcast. You know, that's all I do every day is listen to the news constantly, you know, from all sources. I would want to ask you if you could kindly do it. I would appreciate it. If you could upload this show onto YouTube so I can catch the rest of it or whatever.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. How we do that here is because at BTR, a lot of our ratings here for the station come from the MP3 download, and so I wait 2 days to post it on YouTube. So it'll actually be up probably in the evening Sunday is when I will post the entire interview on YouTube, and you'll be able to catch the whole thing.
Okay, because I do follow your YouTube videos quite a lot. You know, of course, I'm listening to Alex Jones and Steve Quell, you know. I think that's what I'm born to do, listen to the radio constantly because I got into it, you know. Now, when I was younger, I didn't. But now that I'm 19 going on 20, you know, it's just them things. You get older, you start wanting to know more, you know what I mean? But
Yeah, I do. Okay, but, so, yeah, I'll have that up on Sunday, and I got 9 minutes to go. I got two more callers, man. I got to get to them.
All right, thank you, man.
Thank you for calling in. And here we go. We've got 708. 708, you're on the air with Gwen and Doc. Go ahead and state your name and your question, please.
Hey, Doc. It's Kim again from Jasmine's Treasures.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. And one thing, I want to switch subjects really, really fast. I think what you thought was a catastrophe with Dr. Descent, I think you handled that so well, and I just want to recommend, I mean, I don't know the right word to say that to you, but you handled that so well, and I want to commend you for that.
Well, I thank you on that. You know, I'm not mad at him for that either. You know, there's, I'm not going to go into it on air. It's to, you know.
No, you don't have
wars.
To.
Yeah, folks that fight in wars are, you know, they're heroes, and Dr. Descent served with distinction in Iraq, and so that's really all I have to say on that. But I want to thank you for calling in and saying that. That was a tough situation. So and I thank you for for having my back there. I really appreciate that.
No, definitely. I've missed a lot about this, but there was one thing, like when I called you, I wanted to ask, and I totally it was like a brain freeze. I totally forgot what I wanted to, so I'm not going to keep you on because it was like an important question, and then I totally forgot what I was going to ask, and then it just bought back into like, oh well, I wanted to tell him this, but it was something else regarding this. I'm so sorry. So I'm gonna let the next caller go in.
Oh,
I love you,
okay,
Doc.
Yeah.
I love your wife. I love your baby. And Yahuwah bless us all. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank
okay. You,
Devin.
You take care.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Okay. And here we go. This thing's doing it again to me.
Doc.
Yes, Gwen. We got one last caller. We got 631. You're on with Gwen and Doc. Your question, your name and your question, please.
Hi, Doc. It's Bob from Long Island.
How you doing, Bob?
Good. I've been watching your videos for a while. They're really good.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You have a question for me?
Yeah, she was talking about all the stuff that you can buy, you know, to for your health and everything. And I found a good site. It's called Earth Clinic. It's on the internet, and they tell you, like, everything she's been talking about. I've been reading about all of that stuff. So I've been buying stuff like that, peroxide and honey and cinnamon. I've been using all that stuff, and I've been pretty well.
Cool. Yeah, that's why I have folks like her on, so that folks can have get an indication of the things that they need to have when things are coming down. And she's a regular on here, and I'm going to tell you, I love having her on, especially because she's so well-versed in all these different subjects. And so I'm glad to see that she's having an impact out there and that other folks are doing the same thing. And, you know, we've got just 5 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that Gwen gets to talk about the last couple things that she has on her list. So I want to thank you for calling in, and I hope that you'll call in again.
Okay, thanks, Doc.
All right, man.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, Gwen. So here we go. We got 5 minutes left, and yeah, those were all callers for me, huh? And I appreciate all you callers calling in. I want to thank every one of you. I especially want to thank you, Gwen, because you always, not only do you fill in for me when somebody cancels or something, but you're just a joy to talk to and a wealth of information. And so go on ahead and cover the last couple issues, and then we'll take it on out.
Okay. We're not going to have time tonight to talk about the village, but maybe I can do that on another show. But you know, I am really wanting to talk to people about community development on a grassroots level. And I really encourage people, you know, here in Indian country, you know, we always shake hands, and you know, the elders always tell us, you know, you don't have to like someone, but you need to show respect, and you know, shake hands often, and you know, I really think we don't do enough of that, and that's where we need to start going back to the basics of things, and starting to network within our own communities, and finding out who those you know, those garage mechanics are, and who does small appliance repairs, and you know, who is knowledgeable in your community. Do you have a nurse? Do you have an herbalist? Do you have, you know, those kinds of essential people within your community, and start networking with them, and finding out if they're willing to share information, and you know, start doing those kinds of things. To start building your community base for,
yeah.
you know, whatever's coming, it's going to come. And excuse my French, but I think it's going to come in ways that we can't even imagine in our worst nightmare, and we're all going to be quite bitch slapped. We cannot all possibly prepare for every scenario, but what we can do is prepare in the best way possible by having a wide range of contacts already within our community and grounded and talking together and sharing information. And I would just really encourage people to be doing that right now.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And on having you on to cover the community, the development, well, you know, I plan on having you on often. You're a fixture here at my show, so... And people will hear a lot of you and a lot of what you got going on and a lot of your preparation ideas because, well, you got some good ones, and I really enjoy having you on. And with that, I'm going to have to say goodnight. I've got just 2 minutes to go here. I know I have a couple more callers in queue, but there's just no way I'm going to be able to get to you tonight. So I want to say that most definitely we'll get together next week, and I'll definitely book you in to another show. So why don't you plug your website and tell folks where to find you, and then I'll take us out with some music. 1 minute.
Okay, thanks, Doc. Thanks for having me. It's always nice to be on here, and I'm Generation Keeper at YouTube, and I can be reached at Voice of Women at hotmail.com by email, and I also am at voiceofwomen.webs.com.
All
so
right.
Good night,
so,
everyone.
Yes, all right, folks, that's it. I got the 90-second moniker a minute ago. Thank you very much, Gwen, for coming in. I really appreciate it. And to all of you, thank you for joining us here at Hardtail News during the Proof Negative show, and I will see you on the next round.
Night, Doc. Thanks.
Good night, Gwen.